Present, I impose a call of the Senate.
Senate is under call.
Madam President.
Senator Sanchim.
Madam President, I think for the last time this session, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is our Senate chaplain, Reverend Phil Shaw from Rochester. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Again, thank you, Madam President. Senators, I know that you are weary in mind and body, and emotions are running high for some of you. But I do want to thank you for the wonderful opportunity that I've had to serve you in this capacity for this session. And I also want to thank every one of you for the service you give to the state of Minnesota and to the people of Minnesota. And I would like to pray this morning personally for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're asking you for the wisdom and the guidance for each senator as they meet again in this crucial hour. We've asked you for your guidance in the past, and we will continue to ask for it in the future. But it is you, God, in whom we ultimately trust. And may our faith in you be something that is not merely stamped on our coins, but expressed in our lives. And I'm asking that you strengthen weary bodies and weary minds, and renew again in these senators their purpose in life. Let them rise up on eagle's wings. They've done their best. They've given their all. And help them as they face the coming months. Let them regain the passion to serve their fellow man and reignite in them the flame of hope in their hearts that you will be with them. And let there be instilled with a fresh vision on what they have been called to do. And let the voices of affirmation soften the voices of disapproval. And let them take comfort. The decisions they've made were done with the purest of intentions and with the best of their capabilities. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Madam President.
Senator Sanchim.
Madam President, may I just call a very brief recess?
Senator Sanchim has moved for a brief recess. All in favor say aye.
And Pastor Shaw.
We are in recess.
Pastor Shaw. Pastor, you have been with us all session. Thank you for those words. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. Thank you.
Senator, we'll come to order. Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daley, DeCryf, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fishbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebretson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coonan, Cruz, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Lori, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
A quorum is present. Senator McGuire, did you have something quickly?
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, very quickly, I just want to point out to members on your desk, there's a flyer that talks about a Project Citizen Showcase that's going on right now today down in the rotunda. There's 200 students here that have done public policy projects, and they'd love to have you come and look at their projects in the rotunda. There's an awards ceremony at 12:45, and there's a flyer on your desk to talk about it. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Moving to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to inform you that the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is about to adjourn the 87th session, sine die. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No Senate action necessary on that message. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which the amendments, the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 1420, a bill for an act relating to legislative enactments. Senate file 1420 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Limmer. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm a little unsure of the order right now, which motion.
I think we are dealing with Senate File 1420 right now.
All right. Madam President, Senate File 1720 is the dreaded reviser bill that we take care of every
Senator
year.
Senator Limmer, we need to have you make the motion on Senate File 1420.
I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File Number 1420 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Thank you. And I understand, members, that the amendments that were put on have been passed out on the desk. To the motion, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Madam President. This is the revisers bill. It's been every addition that has been considered in this bill has been signed off by Senator Latz as well as myself. We've done a careful review of every provision that's been asked for. Reviser bills, if you don't know, is at the end of each year we go through bills. We find out if there's any technical errors, sometimes grammatical, and the bill before us is rather small compared to previous years. Maybe that's an indication we might be doing our job a little better. But nevertheless, it's before you. And I can review quickly the few changes. In sections 2 to 4, Senator Hand's bill contains miscellaneous health and human service corrections. Section 2 clarifies ambiguous language to provide that a report must include the status of mental health services. Section 3 allows the Commissioner of Human Services to prorate a 1.67% rate reduction of up to that amount. Similar changes were made in other law, but this reference was missed. Section 4 removes conflicts in the date the Commissioner is required to submit a waiver exception application. And in Section 5, we correct a cross-reference. Section 6, one of the bills that Senator Senjum had passed, deletes unnecessary and inconsistent exceptions to a requirement relating to solar energy in state buildings. consistent with an amendment that made the provision permissive instead of mandatory. And Section 7 changes the effective date of the Legislative Permanent School Fund Commission to January 1st, 2013, consistent with the intent of the conferees. I'll stand for any other questions that may be before us.
Senator Latz.
Madam President, I want to congratulate Senator Limmer on the extensive work that he did in putting this bill together. This must be a really exciting bill, Senator Limmer, because you've generated a lot of media attention here.
On that, Senator Limmer.
Madam President.
Senator Limmer.
I'm just waiting for someone to say, yeah, it's all about me. Yeah.
Senator Limmer renews his motion that the Senate concurring the amendments by the House to Senate File 1420 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amendment as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give Senate File 1420 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1420, a bill for an act relating to legislative enactments. Third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1420. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 61 ayes and there being 62 ayes and one nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving to the ninth order of business under motions and resolutions. We'll move to the Senate confirmation calendar. Senator Limmer. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, reported April 25, 2012, pertaining to appointments to the Board on Judicial Standards be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Before I make my motion, I'd like to explain our candidate before us, or would you want
Senator
us
Limmer,
to
you
the
need
motion?
To make the second motion
All right.
regarding adopting the committee report.
Thank you for the direction, Madam President. I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. And Senator Limmer, you need to make the motion, then you can speak to the motion.
I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, reported April 25th, 2012, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Terry Sario to the Board on Judicial Standards.
To that motion, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. On April 25th, the Judiciary Committee interviewed for possible appointment Dr. Terry Sario to the Board on Judicial Standards. As you may know, the Board on Judicial Standards is an important part of our judicial system, and the members play a vital role in evaluating the conduct of judges. One of the background pieces of information that we must know is that this authority to this board was a legislative authority to consider complaints on judges. And as a result, their proceedings are done in secret. It's a very rare instance of secrecy, but it's used to protect a potential judge who may be created, or someone may have found a frivolous complaint on a judge, and we want to make sure that frivolous attacks, things that are not necessarily appropriate to a judicial process, be not used to demean someone inappropriately. But after a discussion, after findings are found, then in some cases, depending on the egregiousness of the finding, these findings can be made public. That's why it's so vitally important to have a candidate that is carefully screened by the Judiciary Committee. I'd like to give you some specifics on Dr. Terry Sario. She has been appointed as a public, she will be seeking a public or citizen member of the Minnesota Board on Judicial Standards. We have three different categories of candidates. We have so many judges on the board, we have so many attorneys, and then we have citizen members that are not attorneys on the board. And Dr. Terry Sario is seeking the placement as a citizen member. She received a unanimous recommendation on the part of the Judiciary Committee. She's earned her BA and MA from the University of California, Riverside, and received her PhD from Claremont Graduate University. Dr. Sario has an extensive background in philanthropy, corporate affairs, government, has worked on policy issues such as women's rights, youth policy, energy, community development, alleviating poverty and hunger, and sustainable development, as well as environmental issues. She's rather a remarkable person when she's got this much energy to focus this much on all of these subjects. She served on numerous nonprofits and corporate boards, and she's has a wealth of experience. It's my understanding that Dr. Sario has the integrity, the judgment, and the ability to fairly review and act upon complaints about Minnesota judges for judicial misconduct or wrongdoing as a citizen member of the board. I am confident that Dr. Sario will be a welcome addition to the Minnesota Board on Judicial Standards, and on behalf of the Judiciary Committee, we support her confirmation.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, I think a number of us have known Dr. Sario for many years. She's a highly competent person, and I think there have been some wonderful changes at the Board of Judicial Standards in the last couple of years, and I think she and Mr. Wernz are very excellent additions, and I'm pleased that we're going to confirm her.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Limmer renews his motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Meeting under motions and resolutions, reverting back to messages from the House, the Secretary will report the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 2958 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted, House File Number 2958, a bill for an act relating to finance. House File Number 2958 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2958 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
To that motion, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President, members. This is the conference committee report on the stadium bill. And if I could, I'd just like to go through just a couple of the changes. One of the major changes, as you probably have all read and know about, is the agreement with the team to commit to up to $477 million. That's $50 million more than what was in the negotiations a couple days ago. So, members, the state's commitment goes down to $348 million. The city's commitment remains at $150 million. And if I could, Madam President, members, I'd like to just go through a few of the changes. I can go through, tell you where they're at on the bill, the page number. But one of them is the Legislative Oversight Commission on page one through three is Senator Reinhart's provision. I'm going to have him speak on that a little bit later. But basically, what we did there is we took down the members of the authority from 7 members back to 5 members. That was a point that was strongly supported by the Sports Facilities Commission. We also changed the name to the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority. And there's going to be a commission of 12 members that'll be under the Legislative Commission. There's also a provision for St. Paul from 2014 to 2033 on page 5 for $2.7 million for operating and capital cost of new and existing sports facilities. There's a building materials exemption for the stadium on page 5. The Sports Facility Authority members, as I said, is back to 5 members. That's page 10. This is a House provision because the Senate was, again, 7 members. 2 from outstate, but we went back to 5 members. The Senator Rest provision on page 14 is for the legislative reporting language. A House provision for the premium seat raffle on page 14, it is where the authority will conduct a study to determine the feasibility of raffling a pair of prime seats through the Gambling Control Board. A House provision that was also accepted was the 25% materials to build the stadium. And it must be, to the extent feasible, be made or produced in Minnesota. And I think that was Senator Tomasoni's provision. But we put some extra language in it to say, to the extent feasible. That's page 15. On cost overruns, page 16, is whoever wins the bid for this contract is responsible for cost overruns. Senator Bonhoff's provision on page 16 through 17 is the guaranteed maximum price language. The prevailing wage language is still on page 17, and the retractable roof language is on page 18. The commemorative bricks language came from the House, and Senator Limmer would probably like to know that references to Lucas Oil Field or any other specific stadium has been removed. It was a little confusing. The team has authority to determine the design of a retractable roof. This is a House provision that's on page 21. Members, we had to bring back the lease agreement from 40 years back to 30 years. There is no NFL teams that have 40 years. That was a very strong point that was put by the team going forward. Also, the team can play three of their home games anywhere outside of the U.S. in the first 15 years. The clawback provision on the sale of the team on page 24 is slightly modified. Instead of 30 years, it had to go back to 20 years. Senator Higgins, I hope you're acceptable to that. That was negotiation. Energy efficiency, Senator Dibble, and your energy savings language on page 25, we put language in there to say to the extent feasible. The goal is to, again, meet those sustainable building guidelines that we feel strongly about. Members, Madam President, soccer had to go back in. That was one of the major pieces in the term sheet. That's on page 25 and 26. It is basically to help. It is still geared towards the owners of this NFL team who have made a commitment to a Major League Soccer expansion in this state, which I think is a very good thing. However, we did negotiate a fair market rate that they must pay for the use of this stadium. The property tax exemptions for the stadium are on page 28. And the appropriation language, or bond language, excuse me, is house language, because they kind of are the authorities on the on bondings. And that's page 30 through 35. We also put in this the city liquor license that can be issued. And the Minneapolis charter provision on 41, this was a piece of language that members, we needed to go back to their original language. The city of Minneapolis felt very strongly about this. We made some changes in taxes to include Senator Marty's amendment to Target Center that they said was okay. We made some major changes on the floor the other day. The city needs this in order to maintain their position and their votes in the city council. That's on page 41. Changes into the charitable gaming taxes on page 44 and 45. And that is a piece that I'd like to get back to if I could. There's a Senator Hand's provision on compulsive gaming annual report, page 81. The building material capital projects sales tax exemption on page 82 for projects with construction costs of more than $40 million. And members, we put a real good provision in to exemplify the People's Stadium. For the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, get to use the facility for 10 days a year, and the high school league for at least 7 days a year, and that's on page 84 and 85. And members, because of the commitment from the team to increase the state their share to $477 million and decrease the state's share, we eliminated all the user fees. But we do have backup fees that will blink on if the commissioner deems they're viable. And the first one is the sports-themed lottery ticket. That will take care of that. That's about $2.1 million a year. And then the 10% fee on suites, skyboxes, and similar types seats is a blink on. What we had to eliminate out of this bill, and unfortunately, it was very hard to do this, but the House stood firm on this from the both Democrats and Republicans, was the affiliate nexus, which was too bad, because this could have been a really great jobs bill. So it's still a good jobs bill, but I would have liked to have seen that. And we also had to take out the Bloomington TIF, the Mall of America. And I feel really badly about that. My apologies, Senator Kielash, on that. But they held firm on that. And that was part of the negotiations. The other things that the House held firm to is no earmarks. So the college scholarship grants and the early childhood grants were also eliminated. And my apologies to that. Members, I'd like to go back to the changes in the charitable gaming tax rates. We spent a tremendous amount of time on that. We had a pretty good position coming out of the Senate, I felt. We started at 9.1%. That would have generated in FY 2015 $59 million and provided about the charities would have received about $44 million. Currently, they would have received another $66 million on top of that. That's about 140-150% increase. The House had a completely different issue, and they felt strongly about theirs, too. But we my concern is that the state is able to make their commitment, and we stood strong on this, I believe, but there was a compromise. The House came in at 6.89%, and it only generated $36.1 million. So the compromise is next year it drops from 9.1 down to 9%, and in 2016, which will be actually 2017, it drops to 8.5%, and that is, and then when the targets are hit, they also get some additional tax relief. The 9.0% is fixed. We also accepted, somewhat held my nose, but they felt very strongly about the tip boards. And so we agreed on that the tip boards, when there is a ruling from the U.S. government on this, that the tip boards, the revenue that is received from the tip boards will go straight to the charities. All they have to do is report. And that was the compromise on that. I feel good about that. But there will be no extra revenue from the tip boards to the state. So, members, I think I went through the changes of the conference committee report. Again, I think it's a good deal. We eliminated the user fees going forward. However, we got a strong commitment of an extra $25 million from the cent provision, a total of $50 million. Our debt service is going to go down when those bonds are issued because of this commitment. And I'd like to thank the team, the governor, the city, and all of the above. But with that, I will answer any questions. Thank you.
Further discussion to Senator Rosen's motion. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Rosen yield?
Senator Rosen will yield. Senator Goodwin.
Senator Rosen, maybe you already said this or we talked about it the other day, but I'm having a hard time finding what the Vikings, the owners' upfront costs are. I see that they are going to pay $8.5 million a year starting in 2016. But what I don't see is what are they putting on the table to begin with to help build the structure.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Goodwin, we will find the exact page on that. But the Vikings are in charge of the first $50 million to get the construction project going. And then the state comes back in with the ongoing another $50 million. But the NFL is in charge of the first $50 million.
Senator Goodwin.
So I still don't understand where the rest of it's going to come from then. So we're only getting $50 million right off the bat to build it, and the state is putting in $50 million, which we won't have until we start getting the proceeds from the pull tabs and the linked bingo. So where's the money for construction going to come if it's only $50 million off the bat? And then, how are workers going to get paid? How are they going to buy supplies with $100 million towards a billion-dollar stadium.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Goodwin, good question. The language that might help you is on page 22, subdivision 2, throughout there. That was part of the term sheet is that they will invest $50 million going forward to get this project going. Our revenues that come from the Department of Revenue, in 2013, there should be about $35.2 million coming in. 2014, it jumps to 57.9. That's a total of 115.8 for the biennium of 14 and 15 for the state share of that $50 million.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you. Madam President, I'm wondering if Senator Rosen would yield again, please.
Senator Rosen will yield. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Senator Rosen, for your answer so far, but I still don't know where the rest of the money is going to come from to complete the structure. I'm only hearing that the Vikings have to put $50 million down. I'm hearing that the state's going to put $33 or $34 million down as of next year. So where is the money? Is the state going to be paying the upfront money to build the stadium, or are the Vikings owners going to be paying the upfront cost to build the stadium? This is an important question, because what I'm really asking is the upfront money for the stadium going to come out of the general fund, or where is it going to come from so we put our $348 million into the structure in Minneapolis, it's $150 million. So I'm not hearing or seeing any numbers here that show me who is going to put this money down to get that structure going. So I don't have my question answered yet. I hope somebody can answer that for me. It's a very important question.
Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Goodwin, that subdivision that I told you about on page 22 explains it fairly clearly. The $50 million gets the construction project going. The state has a $50 million. After that, the bonds will be issued, and then we'll receive the revenue from the gaming. And then in paragraph D, line 22-21, there's a 51% of the construction funding, a proportion side is 51 for the authority and 49% by the NFL, and it flips back and forth. They contribute back and forth, but the state will have to issue the bonds to continue the construction project.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. So what you're saying is the state will be selling the bonds, or so we'll be paying for the upfront costs except for the $50 million. Is that what I'm hearing, that we are, the state is going to be paying for that that amount, our costs that we're going to be paying? We're going to be doing that upfront, and the Vikings are going to be putting down $50 million. Is what I'm hearing. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's all I'm hearing that they're going to be putting down towards this project. So if we sell the bonds and get the money, we'll still be paying debt service on those bonds at least. And when is the rest of the money from the Vikings going to come? That's what I want to know. When is the rest of the money for the Vikings? When are we going to see that? What year? Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I guess I'm a little confused about Senator Goodwin's question myself, and I'm sorry I'm not explaining this very well, but the team pays the first $50 million to get the project going. The state, and it clearly says this in line 22.4, the state pays the second $50 million. From there, the bonds are issued. The state share, you got the Minneapolis, we're taking care of the Minneapolis share for the first 5 years. And then it's kind of a flip, 51% for the authority, and that's on line 21 of page 22, and 49% for the NFL, and it flips back and forth. So, I'm not quite sure why I can't get that explained.
Madam President?
Senator Olson?
Madam President, Senator Rosen, it seems to me that page 24, beginning at point 3, subdivision 6 on enforceable financial commitments is a very clarifying statement in terms of the documentation that all of those commitments are in order and on record and a part of a contractual agreement. So you might direct Senator Goodwin to look at that provision as well. Page 24, line 3, the subdivision 6.
Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Olson, for that. I appreciate that. And if there's further questions by Senator Goodwin, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Senator Goodwin?
I still don't have a clear picture of this, so yes, there will be further questions, but I'll hold off on them. Thank you.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to thank Senator Rosen for doing an outstanding job representing the Senate in the negotiations, as well as Senator Bach. And then, and Senator Rosen, I think we have all been just shocked and in awe in some ways of how you have hung in there for hour after hour after hour during this entire process. And so I want to express my gratitude for your efforts on behalf of this bill. And then I just wanted to make a comment about what got left on the cutting room floor. As I worked in the working group all along, I would advocate from time to time about the importance of user fees, because in a balanced bill, we ought to make sure our fans have a chance to pay their fair share as well. And so I supported the changes that were in Senator Rosen's original bill that had those user fees, and then I voted against Senator Howe's measures. And so I got constituents who wrote to me and said, you've been saying that you were for user fees. Why didn't you support Senator Howe's measure? And I wrote back that the provisions put forward by Senator Howe were so broad and extreme that I knew they didn't have a chance in becoming the funding mechanism, and that, in fact, I was concerned that with the rigid ideology that the members of the House would bring forward, that we wouldn't even keep the small user fees that we put in the Senate bill. And so I do want to say on the record that I think it's a mistake that we are not able to have a surcharge on sports memorabilia that's just for things that are sold in the stadium, and that that was viewed by those in the other body as a new tax. And as long as we have that mentality, as long as our pledge, you know, to some other higher cause surpasses and takes precedence over doing what's right, we will not have the appropriate and right sound policy. So while I don't blame anyone in this body, I am disappointed that the user fees are not part of this bill, and I think it makes it a less defensible policy in general, but again, one that I support because we have what we have before us, and I respect the work of those negotiating. So again, thank you to Senator Bach and to Senator Rosen.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. I did have a question I was hoping Senator Rosen might be able to answer. It has to do with the provision on page 86. In Article 6, which is the section that talks about the what's called the blink on funding, I'm unclear of how the state lottery, so the state lottery will, in the case that it is needed apparently, and I do believe there will be needed additional revenue to do this, that they would conduct games based on professional sports themes to generate a minimum of $22.1 million in additional revenue. And I'm curious about how that would work. I know right now we have a lot of different lottery games that are conducted. They change them very frequently. Each of these games has a certain shelf life. They decline over a period of time. The revenues drop off. People quit playing them. In fact, I know the lottery itself has experienced some decline in use over the years. We've got a 60-40 split where 60% of the revenue comes to the general fund, 40 goes to the natural resources, environment, natural resources fund. And if you're looking for $2.1 million additional, does that mean that we're going to reduce the natural resource, environment, natural resources portion by $2.1 million every year to the general fund? I'm not clear how you, in the course of adding or changing games, you can generate additional revenue. It is whatever it is. And there's already, I don't know how many games, 10 or 12 or 15 or how many. How do you get more than what the lottery already is going to generate unless it's taking from the proportion that is the 40% that goes to the environment and natural resources? Could get some clarification on that.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Hand, for the question. And this was actually the lottery game was actually an experiment. I believe it was last year or the year before, and they've been doing this with the Vikings on it, and it was wildly popular. And you are right. It does go into the general fund and come back out to the environmental fund. But this was scored very conservatively, as the Department of Revenue says. It generated a tremendous amount of money in its preview when it first came out, and it will continue because it will be for a sports-themed NFL lottery ticket. But as I said, this is a blink-on. It will be determined by the commissioner. The 2.1, we were a little surprised with that fiscal note since it generated so much more dollars going forward, and it was something that I was hoping to capture, but the team wanted to make an increase in their contribution to the state with this as a blink on if possible. I think that's a very good trade, because we don't have to rely on user fees. We don't have to rely on a combination of a whole bunch of different fees or taxes or whatever. This is an increase in their commitment to the state. The naming rights, if I could just say something about the naming rights that were in the original bill that we voted on the other night, that those dollars were to go to the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. Those are worth about $25 million over the course of about 20 years, with $17 million off the bat and then inflated up to $25 million. We thought it was a better choice to take the $25 million right up off the top and lower our debt service. But you're right. This is something that does go into the general fund because it's run through the state lottery, but they are expecting a lot more money, and hopefully we won't have to use it. I feel confident about that, and I feel very confident with the department's figures on the charitable gaming.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator Rosen. This is my fear, I guess. I don't think that's real money, members. I don't think there's no baseline that says here's what the lottery is going to get, and then we're going to get an additional $2.1 million over and above that. I certainly believe that if you have a lottery game that's themed on professional sports, you can say that it'll collect or bring in so much money, but that is not in addition to any baseline amount. It's just saying we're going to have a sports-themed lottery that'll generate some money, but it's not going to be any additional money. And this is my concern, that this is not raising additional money. It's just taking some money that is already going to come in the lottery and say we'll use that. I don't believe that this provision, members, really does anything to address the need for additional revenue to support the project.
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Rosen yield?
Senator Rosen will yield. Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you. Senator Rosen, this bill did receive a public hearing in the Conference Committee, right? Correct?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Chamberlain. Yes, we did have a hearing last night till about 1 o'clock.
And what time was
Senator
that conference?
Senator Chamberlain.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, what time was the notice for that public hearing posted?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Chamberlain, I believe it was around 11:20 or so.
Madam President.
Senator Chamberlain.
Senator Rosen, 11:20 yesterday morning?
Madam President, no.
Senator Rosen.
Senator Chamberlain, it was at 11:20 at night.
Okay.
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam President. So as the hearing notice was posted at 11:20 on Wednesday night?
Senator Rosen?
Madam President, that's correct. Senator Chamberlain.
Senator Chamberlain.
So the hearing notice, Madam President, the hearing notice was posted at 11:20 on Wednesday night. And then the conference committee was held at what time?
Senator Rosen?
I believe, Madam President, it was held, we started at shortly before midnight because of the rule that it has to be before midnight.
Madam President.
Senator Chamberlain.
Senator Rosen. So the Conference Committee hearing notice was posted about 11:20 p.m. on Wednesday night, and the Conference Committee commenced at midnight on Wednesday. And when was the Conference Committee report finally published, posted?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Chamberlain, it was posted at 7. I'm sorry. The Conference Committee hearing was at 11:20, and then we convened before midnight and met shortly before 1 a.m. in the morning.
Senator Chamberlain.
Okay, I'm just trying to clarify this timeline. So the Conference Committee convened at 11:20 on Wednesday. So then when was the hearing notice posted? I understand there's a time you have to allow plenty of time for public notification, and so they can, if they're going to give testimony or want to be heard, to come to that committee. So what time was the committee notice posted? The hearing notice, I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Madam President.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Chamberlain, for your questioning, and I got this a little messed up. It's been a long time. The hearing notice was posted at 7, and there was some changes to the conference committee report. Those came out at 11:30, and then we started we had the bill before us before midnight. The House interprets the rules differently than we do. We have to have 12 hours from when the report comes out to when we can take up and take a final vote. The House can, they interpret it differently, and they can go in immediately for a vote.
Madam President.
Senator Chamberlain.
Thank you. Okay, so we followed House rules in that process. So the Conference Committee hearing notice was posted, but Senate rules require 12 hours. House rules do not. So then you commenced the hearing, convened the committee at about 11:20 p.m. on Wednesday. Did you recess at that time, or did you just commence the hearing?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator Chamberlain. We are counting down on our days, and so we needed to get this conference committee report. As the rules say, as much as practical, meetings of conference committees shall be announced as far in advance as possible. We did take a motion in the conference committee to extend that to the 1 a.m. ruling. So, Madam President, Senator Chamberlain, I am... believe me, all eyes were watching that conference committee. I don't think there was anything out of line at all. There is a difference of interpretation from the House versus the Senate, and I think we respected that.
Madam President.
Senator Chamberlain.
Well, I must object. I did not intimate or any way suggest it was out of line. I'm just trying to get an understanding of the time frame and the timeline here. But thank you, Senator Rosen. A couple more questions. So there was that's fine. So there was a quorum present, correct?
Senator Rosen?
Madam President. Senator Chamberlain, quorum at where? Could you please be more specific?
Senator Chamberlain. I'm sorry, Madam President. There was a quorum for the entire duration of the, at the beginning and throughout the conference committee hearing, there was a quorum.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Chamberlain. Yes, there was a quorum in the hearing.
Okay.
In room 15.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Chamberlain.
Madam President, thank you. I think that's all for now. Thank you.
Senator Hahn, is it something very specific? Because I do have a list. Senator Hahn?
Thank you, Madam President. And I was listening to Senator Chamberlain's questions, and I appreciate the responses. I'm a little confused, though. We have before us a conference committee report that's dated and timed at 11:36 p.m. So the conference committee report that we have in front of us was printed before the conference committee met. Is that what that means, or about the same time it met?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator Hahn. The conference hearing was posted at 6:57 p.m. We had the reports that we were ready to meet. There was some changes that needed to be made. So the reports, the bill had to be completely redone and printed to go forward. So you're looking at something that has a date that is or a timeline that runs right up to when we could meet, and that was a problem. We had to make some major changes in the bill. But members, Madam President, if I may so indulge you, that this bill, the Senate version, went through 5 hearings, 4 different committees, 25 hours of hearings, and it was introduced on March 12th. It's been out for a very, very long time.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. And I guess I understand that this bill was changed from the Senate bill, and I understand that that's usually what happens in a conference committee. But if the agreements to make the change were made and the report printed before the committee had its hearing, then when was the decision made to make the changes? Who made those changes? If it wasn't the committee acting as a committee, and if the printing of the report was done before the committee met, when were those changes made, and how were they agreed to, and what testimony was taken on those? I guess I'm a little confused.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, to that point.
Thank you, Madam President. To that point, Senator Hahn, I don't think you've been around here long enough to know that there are changes that can be made to bills and reports all through the process. And as Senator Rosen has said, this thing has been vetted time and time again through many committees. We came actually last night. I was on that conference committee at 10 o'clock. There were some errors, I believe, that were printed in the bill, so we had to go back to the drawing board and the printing, if you will. So at that time, Representative Lanning, who was chairing the committee, recessed for an hour to get the new printing done for the bill. It was a tad bit of a colossal of things that everybody in this chamber knows can happen at times. But I know there's been some implications as well as the term, do you have a quorum, or are you dealing with a quorum? Are you talking with a quorum where you're not supposed to be? That question was running a little bit rampant, unjustifiably so, I might add. I was part of that process, and not once did we have a quorum when we were doing negotiating with the people involved, with the House folks involved. So those types of implications, I'm not sure where they generated from, but they're invalid. I'm here to tell you they're invalid, and everything was done as best could be done with the time frame that we have here. So if there would have been something that needed to be changed, that would have been taken care of as well.
To that point, Senator Howe.
Thank you, Madam President. I think the question before us, and I think the question that Senator Chamberlain and Senator Hand are asking, I don't think anybody's questioning or even suggesting that the letter of the law was broken. I think what people are questioning is, was the intent? The intent is for transparency and open. You know, I asked to be part of, to be involved. I know other senators wanted to be involved in that process. I went down to where the conference committee was going to meet, and it was delayed an hour, and I just heard that an agreement hadn't been reached yet. And I thought the part of the conference committee was that we were going to take the House version, and then we were going to take the Senate version, and we were going to have an open and honest discussion about it. That's what I wanted to be involved in. I know many other members here wanted to be involved in that discussion. And I think the question is, how can a conference report come out and be printed before the conference committee met? I think that's the question we're asking is how do we get input to this? And so I think that's the question we have to the authors of the bill is, how did this agreement come about? How did I heard earlier today when we were discussing it, I said we had to return to many of the original language. And I think we just heard a member speak that it's been vetted through many different committees, and I think I've been on a couple of those committees. You know, I voted for this bill three times so far, and I voted, we gave advice and guidance, and we've made changes to it. But then I hear it was reverted back to the original language, and then that report was printed before the committee met. So the question is how do we get that input? How does the public get the input to make the proper changes without this being rushed through, and that we can have an open and honest debate? Now, I understand it might have been needed to print reports, but we can take our time and do that, but we have to have those discussions at the table. Usually when we have those discussions, it's between the House and the Senate on a conference committee, and then the parties that are involved in that come in front of the desk and give testimony of why these changes are good or not, and we have all the different representatives, and everybody can see what's going on. And so I think the question is how did the report get printed before those discussions took place? And I think that's the question that needs to be answered.
Senator Michelle, yes, to that point.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I'm amazed at any line of inquiry that would suggest that this Vikings stadium debate has been rushed. This is my 10th year on the Senate floor, and we've talked in some way about a Viking stadium every one of those 10 years. This has been a pretty slow rush. Members, I think if I have the numbers right, we have introduced over 3,000 bills this session. 3,000. I would submit there's not another bill that has had more testimony, more input, more vetting, more committee hearings, more media coverage, more transparency than the bill and the product that is before you now. Members, this is the bill. I think it's been worked through the process, both the House and the Senate, quite skillfully, quite openly, quite transparently. Members, our lease, the Metrodome lease with the Vikings, is up. Last year, the Metrodome collapsed. It's time. It's time for us to adopt a framework that allows us to keep an NFL franchise, that allows us to keep our Minnesota Vikings here for decades, so that our children and our grandchildren, yes, can wear purple. So I thank Senator Rosen, I thank Senator Ingebrigtsen, I thank Senator Reinert for their work over the last couple days, and I thank them for being so open and working on it. I thank all the members of the Senate for 11 hours of debate. We didn't debate or talk about or amend any other bill this year more than this one.
Senator Kielash.
Now, Mr. President, I've got to respond to that point because I'm asking a question. Mr. President?
Senator Kielash.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had a question for Senator Rosen, if she'll yield.
Senator Rosen will yield.
It's not on this topic. I hope that's okay. I'm not as skeptical about everybody, about the work you've done. I think you've done a marvelous job. My question has to do with the extra $50 million that the extra $50 million that the Vikings are kicking. Is there any strings to that as far as being needing to be dedicated to anything like the retractable roof or any of that? Is that just going straight to the bottom line, or is there... Or is there any requirements by the Vikings that it be used for a specific purpose?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Kielash. That was a very good question. And, of course, there was at some point some discussion about that, but no, we fought that back. This is just a lowering of the state's commitment of $50 million. That's it. That's it. So our commitment is $348 instead of $398.
Senator Kielash.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rosen, it sounds like the Vikings are more interested in a retractable roof than they were going into this. And by the way, I have to commend you and all the folks in the committees that have passed this. I heard this bill in the first committee when it came to the Senate, and it is vastly improved for the taxpayers of Minnesota. I commend you for that. I think you've done a great job in putting this together. And I think considering all the things that a complicated bill like this can go through with all the various levels of local government participation, state agencies, and on and on. You've done a marvelous job of keeping this on track, and I really appreciate your work on this, and thank you so much for that. Bye.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senator Rosen, colleagues. I don't think there's any doubt that this bill is going to pass off the Senate floor this morning. And I also don't think there's any question about the fact that I have consistently opposed this bill primarily because of the funding source, a funding source that I just disagree with. There are other items in the bill that I also disagree with. I think that Senator Nienau was bang on when he talked about the waiver of the right of the people in the city of Minneapolis to vote. And this bill effectively bypasses their protection as outlined in the Minneapolis Charter. I think that this bill also bypasses the local option sales tax by simply redirecting the sales tax from the Minneapolis Convention Center to the stadium without giving the people who are being taxed the right to vote as dictated by Minnesota law. And philosophically, I think that if we have a law in place, we should either abide by it or repeal it, but you don't make exceptions for people. I also disagree with the part of the bill that takes millions and millions of dollars and pays it over, taxpayer dollars, over to the city of St. Paul for a debt reduction on the XL Energy Center, or the XL Center, which is absolutely unrelated to the stadium. But I think what I'm really the most disappointed in is in some of the passion of certain folks in what I consider an entertainment industry. When I think in terms of what we should be doing down here, I think in terms of public safety and education, health care, roads, infrastructure. And I really struggle with this idea of how important it is for the state of Minnesota as a governmental entity to become involved in a professional sports stadium. I know we've done it before. I know it happens across the nation. But it saddens me to think that our citizens believe this is a wise expenditure of taxpayer money. So, in the end, you know, I feel very strongly about my position. I recognize that Senator Rosen feels very strongly about her position. And I want to express my sincere and heartfelt congratulations to her. She has worked on this bill for years. She has been passionate. She has, at this point, accomplished what she has set out to do. And so, Mr. President, congratulations, Senator Rosen.
Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple things I wanted to discuss from the bill. And first of all, comment on Senator Michelle's statement about the 11 hours of debate that we had on this issue, which apparently this is the most important issue for a state legislature to take up in this session. And he brought up that we had all this debate, and as a result of all this debate and some things that we added to the bill, struck from the bill, went to conference committee, one of those things that I would like is ask Senator Rosen if she would yield for a question.
She will yield.
One of the things that we voted for in the on the Senate floor was to remove the language about allowing the granting exclusive rights for 5 years for a family member of the owner to bring in a professional soccer team. And 47 members of this body agreed that it shouldn't be exclusive, that if this is good for business, it should be opened up to anybody to bring in a professional team and use the stadium and bring revenue into the state. And yet it went to conference committee and it came back in the exact same language that 47 of us voted to have taken out. And so my question is to Senator Rosen, because I wasn't there hearing the conversation, I don't know if the House members opposed taking that out or why they would oppose taking that out, or what was the conversation that would say opening it up for anyone to bring business to the stadium was a bad idea and it was better to leave it exclusively for only one
entity to have it for the next 5 years.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Wolf. And yes, we did have a very lengthy discussion about this provision, and I believe that this is a very important provision. The House had the full language. And for anybody who's ever been in a very serious long-term issue like this, and you go to a conference committee, there is compromise. The NFL team that is clearly designated in this language on lines on page 25, starting on line 34, has the right to open or bring a major league soccer team here. Anybody else has the right to do that too, but I don't see anybody else planning on doing that. They've had the option of bringing another league here for a very long time. There's 19 leagues. I'm not sure of anybody else knocking at our door, but you have a major player here that's paying for over 50% of this stadium, and he would like to bring another business, and that's what it is. I'm sorry if it says soccer behind it, but it is a business. They pay payroll taxes just like everybody else, and invest in this state and support a very important industry in your district, Senator Wolf, the Blaine Sports Center there that has soccer ongoing. I think we should applaud him for wanting to do that. The major change that we felt very strongly about is that they need to pay rent, because I heard that loud and clear, and that is on lines on page 26, line 6. They shall include rent based on market conditions. So with that, I'd also like to say that if they bring this Major League Soccer team to the state, they're going to want a retractable roof, and they're going to pay for this retractable roof. There will be no cost to the state. They will borne this expense. I think that's a win for the state. It's going to be a beautiful stadium. It'll be used. It'll be draw in revenue. It's a win-win for everybody in this state.
Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. President. The argument was not how good it would be to have a professional soccer league here, because I think that would be awesome. The argument for why to remove it was that by removing that section, it does not prohibit the Vikings owners, family, from bringing in a team. But what it does do by having the language in is it prohibits anyone else from having that opportunity. You say nobody else came forward, but I don't know if anybody else was given the chance to come forward, because we're not allowing anybody else to come forward. Mr. President, I have one other question. I've received concern from my district as far as the charitable gaming part, and I need some clarification, because their concern and why they oppose this is they are concerned at what it is going to do to some of the charitable gaming organizations. In my area, that would be specifically Blaine Youth Hockey, Spring Lake Park Lions, Fridley Lions, Spring Lake Park Hockey. Spring Lake Park Lions contacted me and said that there's this misconception here that this is going to be good for them. Because what it actually does, and the way the language is changed, instead of being taxed on gross receipts, they're going to be taxed on net receipts, so it'll be taxing their profits. And what they told me is that currently they pay 24.35% in taxes, and with the new plan, they will end up paying 36% taxes. So if Mr. President and Senator Rosen, if you could address that, if that needs to be clarified for these groups, that's their perception, is this is not going to, at least in my area, that this is not going to be good for them.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President, and perhaps you should answer this question, Mr. President, because you've had this bill for several years now. This is an issue of tax breaks, tax adjustment for these charities. For many, many years, they've been at this Capitol trying to get this, and now we're getting it done for them. I think it's something they've wanted is to be taxed on their combined net receipts, not their combined gross receipts. And I think it's these electronic bingo and pull tab machines are completely voluntary. They do not have to do this.
but they still get the tax break on the paper pull tabs. So I'm not sure. I can't address those figures. I haven't seen those figures. I know there's some figures out there that came to light yesterday that a very good discussion between the Commissioner of Revenue, the Gambling Control Board, and the House that had a completely different set of figures. And that's why this issue took 5 hours to figure out and get everybody on the same page going forward. But for the charities to say they're getting a bad deal in this scenario, they're getting almost 150% increase of what they're already getting. And I think that's a pretty good deal. They've been working at the Capitol for a very long time to get this bill done. And we're doing it for them, and I think that we should vote on this bill and get this going and send some money back to our local communities.
Senator Bach, to the point.
To the point, Mr. Chairman, Senator Wolf. I know that many of the charitable organizations feel like they've been overtaxed. But members, just a little information for you when you go home to share with your charitable organizations that do good work back in our communities. The tax rate that charitable organizations pay on their gross receipts, on the tickets they sell, is about 4%. 4%. Members, when you go buy a lottery ticket, a Minnesota State Lottery ticket, we charge sales tax on it. That is 6.875%. So the tax that we as a state charge on lottery tickets on the gross sales is significantly higher. The difference between 4% and 6.875%. So to say that the charitable organizations have been treated unfairly, members, I just have to tell you, it's just not accurate. It's just not accurate. So you just need to have that information. The charitable organizations are going to have about $67 million a year more money. $67 million a year more money. Now, the only way they won't have that is if they decide to not buy the electronic machines. But if they decide to buy them, $67 million a year more money for the charitable organizations.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I guess it's not important, the question I asked earlier, trying to find out why the conference report was printed before we had the hearing. I think that was the question about it. When we talked about the process of letting constituents and letting Minnesotans know how the changes are being made here, some of these provisions I'm seeing for the first time here tonight, or today, I should say. And I know we're all operating on very little sleep here, so we're trying to make decisions that affect the future of our state. And I want to just be on record that I am a strong supporter of building a stadium. I want to see a stadium be built. That doesn't mean that I have to give up my fiduciary duty as a senator to the taxpayers to ask the questions about how much this is going to cost. Because one of the ideas I wanted to present in the conference committee is this is a very emotional issue. And fear is being driven on this, the fear of losing the Minnesota Vikings. You know, it's not just about sports. It's not just about football. It's our identity. That's what we're worried about losing here. We're worried about losing our identity, the Minnesota Vikings, our history, our heritage. People call it a cultural asset. And that's what we're concerned about. It's the fear of losing something that we love and we cherish and we get together, whether people are having a party at their home or whether you're at the bar, the sports bar. And so one of the suggestions I had was, you know, if we do this public financing, and we're talking about upfront sticker numbers here, folks. You know, when you do a home mortgage or when you buy a car, by law they got to tell you exactly how much you're paying in total cost. That's not only the price that you're paying for the vehicle or the house, but it's also all those interest charges that come along with this. And then you see what the final cost is. and the public doesn't know what the final cost is. Matter of fact, I don't. The current sheet isn't even up. I just asked the fiscal staff to get that for me because I want to share what that number is so the public knows what the final cost is. It's not just what the sticker is. It's with all the interest and what we're going to pay. And I think we're going to pay a big price because we don't have user fees on this, that we're going to use gaming, and we're going to rely on an unsubstantiated revenue on it, and that the taxpayers are going to be fiscally at risk if it doesn't work out, and it's going to come out of the general fund. So I do have some questions because, you know, one of the criticisms I had on my amendment to the original bill the other night was that I was changing the terms from 40 years to 30 years, and that was a criticism. That's why the original bill was better. But now I see the terms have been changed back to 30 years. I don't know why. And then I see there's a segment in here that I've heard loud and clear, don't use legacy money. Do not use legacy money for funding of the stadium. But now I see in here there's up to $780,000 that's going to be a fiscal cost out of the legacy fund because of the tax-exempt provisions. And so how do we address those things? But I do want to find out what the total sticker cost of this is. And one of the ideas I had I'll need more explanation than that, but one of the ideas I had was, because this is such emotionally tied, I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to go through this emotional that we're going to lose our identity. That's what communities have when they decide to not have a local police department and they go to a county. They don't want to lose that identity. So one of the suggestions I was going to propose in conference committee was, if we do this deal, is there any way we can keep the Minnesota Vikings name and logo and trademark here? You know, if the team decides to move in the future, 30 or 40 years down when we're having this conversation again. I mean, I think that's a reasonable explanation. If we, you know, I feel we're getting something then. If we're putting the public monies and the taxpayer money in, I want to get something more than just a stadium. I want to get something more than just a commitment that I'm going to be here for the next 30 years. I want to buy something. I want something tangible. And I don't think that the Vikings would be necessarily opposed to that because it's the Minnesota Vikings. It's the identity is here. It's Viking land. And maybe we could retain that in these negotiations. So 30 or 40 years from now, or, you know, there's even provisions in here where the team can move. This doesn't guarantee the team can't move. There's options for the team to move if they get a better deal. We just have a clawback provision. We're going to get some money back out of it. But those are things, I think, that we can look at, and that builds support. I think a lot of members in this body would say, hey, we're getting something tangible for that. So we don't want to lose that. Because I don't want to lose the Minnesota Vikings. I want them to be here forever. I want them to be part of our heritage. And that's why I'm a very strong supporter of building a stadium. We all have differences of how it gets done. I think we spoke hard and clear about the user fee concept. But we've got one shot at this to get it right. But the Vikings aren't leaving today. You know, one of the things I thought is if we got the conference committee, at least we could have input. And then if the body didn't like what the conference committee did, we could refer it back to the conference committee. And, you know, we did get a better deal. I applaud Senator Rosen and the members there. We got $50 more million from the Viking organization to go towards that stadium. Is that enough? Maybe it is enough. But we don't have another chance now because the other house has went sine-die. So we're forced to make a decision. And we've got new provisions in front of us. We've got new provisions in front of us that I think need answers. And I'm going to continue to go through the bill. I'll have another comment. You can put me at the bottom of the list, Mr. President. I'll have another comment. But I'm going to go through this. And total debt service, $1 billion. That's a nice round figure. Thank you. It's $1 billion, folks. That's a lot of money. And we're going to do that all on gaming. All on gaming. User fees of the direction we've talked about putting user fees in, user fees have been taken out. They're a blink on. They're a blink on to the tune of about, I don't know, I haven't done the figures, maybe 0.5% or maybe 1%. I was hoping to get 5 or 10 or maybe 15 or maybe 20% of towards the construction cost of the user fees. But I just was handed this information right now. That's going to be $1 billion. That's going to be the state's share. You know, I think it's been reported that the city of Minneapolis is only going to put in $150 million, but I think when you look at the operating costs, I think it's totally somewhere between $600 and $900 million, $600 and $875 million. So these are big numbers, folks. Big numbers. I want to see the stadium get built. But I think the process is what we're talking about. The process of having input. It's troubling when you're trying so hard, so desperately. You know, I spoke the other night. I think I talked to the governor four times on the phone. I talked to Ted Mondale. I talked to the Vikings. We're trying to make this as best deal as we can, but now it's down to the end. Now we can't send it back to conference committee. There's a lot of pressure. So don't impugn somebody's motives here. When we're asking questions, you know, if you stand up and ask a question, somebody thinks you're filibustering or you want to kill the stadium. No, we don't. No, we don't. I haven't talked to one member in here that doesn't want to build a stadium. But now we're forced with this decision. And the questions that we ask and the answers we get, the answers I get today, what I find out that's in this bill is going to guide my decision making. I can't say whether I'm a yes vote or a no vote because I want some answers. I wanted answers a half an hour ago on how did this committee report get drafted prior to the meeting of the council report. And that is a legitimate question. That's legitimate. You can say, hey, these are big things. We negotiated it ahead of time, and we all were in agreement before we went in there. That's fair. That's honest. That's what I want is honesty. I think we should expect that. But the dance around the questions, when we ask those questions, that's not fair. We want input. Our constituents want input. I'm getting hundreds of emails of input. Everybody wants a yes vote. Everybody wants a stadium. But at what cost? I want a stadium. I'm not sure that the cost here and how we're going to provide it, and we're going to devastate some families, we know that. Because we've got money in the bill for gambling addiction. So we know we're going to devastate some families. We know there's going to be families that are going to lose their houses, their marriages, their cars, their livelihoods, so we can enjoy football. Well, I want to enjoy that football, but I don't want to damage people. I don't want to hurt Minnesota. I don't want to hurt everybody to do it. I think there's a reasonable way we can get this done. It's a day that we do get a little emotional. I'm a little emotional about this because I don't know. I'm looking for guidance to make the right decision. It's not as simple as just pushing a red or green button. There's consequences to our actions here. And let's take the time to do this right. We only get one shot at this.
To the point, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator Howell, for your passionate feelings about this. I know you're disappointed about the user fees that you worked very diligently hard. I apologize if you thought I was dancing around your issue about the conference committee reports, but if you're around here a little bit longer, you will know these conference committee reports can be printed 24 hours before, 2 hours before, a week before you have a conference committee. This is how it works. We usually do these major projects like this at the very tail end of session, and it's game on. And it's game on right now. So we did nothing wrong. We printed that conference committee report. There was nothing wrong with that, and I apologize if you think I was dancing around it. I know you are a strong supporter. You actually gave my ending speech about how strong this stadium, the Vikings, are to Minnesota heritage. So thank you very much. You hit all the right points. This is a very big deal, and we need to address it this year. And I apologize if you did not get a chance to read the bill. It's been posted for quite a while. There are some changes to it, absolutely. That's what conference committees do. They compromise. You've got a House provision and a Senate provision, completely different. The House provision had $100 million from the Vikings, which was doable. That was a game over on that one. But we got $50 million more from them. That's a pretty good guarantee for the state. I think that's a pretty good deal. We don't have to rely on the family of four that can barely go to a Vikings game because it's been so priced out of whack. Or we're not taxing or the high school league to come and play and taxing their concessions. We can keep this as a people's stadium, and that was the goal. The debt service, I think we did a good job with that by accepting and pushing for that $50 million more from the team. We just lowered our debt service. It was very, very clear from when we decided on Minneapolis site that we wanted a stadium under $1 billion, $975 million. There is a unfortunately, I don't have the calculations, but our original commitment of $398 has been backed down to $348. But with that $398 million state commitment over the lifetime, it would have been a $450 million increase in income taxes and direct sales tax in excess of what is paid on the bonds. The present value basis would be $140 million return to the state. So that's a pretty good deal, members. I think that's a really good deal. You talk about $1 billion and is public share. That's not all on gaming. Minneapolis has their hospitality taxes. The Vikings have their investment of over 50%. Yes, we had to come up with some kind of revenue stream for the state share that was agreeable by all parties within this capital. And we came up with a mechanism that has been at this capital for years trying to get some tax relief. And with that, we're providing some relief for our local charities. I think that's a pretty good win. But this $1 billion in public share will be reduced by the Minneapolis contribution. It was very important to have a local partner. We do. And there is a direct benefit when they start paying this back in 2021 when the convention bonds are released. This number will be reduced if the bonds are tax exempt, which is a very, very real possibility, members. Right now, they're scored as taxable because of the user fees, but it's a very good possibility this can come in tax exempt, and that's what I got my fingers crossed on. I hope we can do that. That will save the state and this whole project a tremendous amount of money. And this number will be reduced if the bonds are issued at a rate of less than 4.5%, which is actually very high. We were all a little stunned with that. But that's what it's scored at. That's what we have to be respectful. And so we'll run with that. But I'm sorry, Senator Howe, that you think you got shortchanged on a conference committee or that there were some alternative motives or that you didn't have a chance to do your input. But again, members, I go back to the 5 committee hearings, 25 hours of testimony, 11 hours on the floor the other day. I think we've done a pretty good job on this bill.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I had kind of hoped that Senator Michelle would have been in the room because I wanted to make some comments in reaction to what he earlier had said. He had made reference to the old Dome Stadium in Minneapolis, making reference to a roof that caved in. We all know about the roof, but we all know that close to $20 million was paid to fix it, and now we're going to tear it down. Once again, government's decision on how to maintain its buildings, and yet at the same time, $20 million could have been redirected to a much better purpose than a brand new roof on an old stadium that now is getting ripped down. Senator Michelle said, it's time. You know, if my roof leaks on my house, I fix the roof. I don't rebuild the entire house. Once again, the logic of maybe common people across the state of Minnesota is not being employed in this body. One of the other questions that I wanted to have, and I just discovered this in reading the bill, there seems to be some references to data privacy in the bill. And despite the fact that I did request the bill to come to Judiciary while it was in the Tax Committee, well, that request was denied. So now we have to bring this discussion to the Senate floor, and I was wondering if Senator Rosen would yield for a question or two.
She'll yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rosen, could I direct you to page 24 and 25? This is an area regarding enforceable financial commitments. And on lines 11 or 10, 11, and 12 on page 24. And, you know, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. This is where the money is talked about. This is where it's enforced. And the authority that's mentioned here is given the authority to determine before construction begins that all public and private funding sources for construction, operating expenses, capital improvements, and repairs are included in written agreements. But on line 10, it starts out saying, but any financial information obtained by that authority is non-public data. It's private. So despite the fact that there's a written document, no one can see it. The public can't see it because it's deemed non-public in this document. Now, we've discussed whether we should have a stadium or not. I think in all of the different proposals we've had in the last few days, I think every senator has probably voted for a stadium, but a different manner on how to get there. My question is why are we hiding information from the public by deeming a financial information, that's financial information that's given by the public for the purpose of building the stadium, the total cost, $1 billion, why is the financial information being withheld?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Limmer. Just going back to your comments about the data privacy language on page 24, line 10, 11, excuse me, and page 25 on lines 3, that is old language that has been in the bill from the start. And so it's been there. I don't know what to say about that. The as far as the information that is allowed, that can go to the authority, the NFL can open their books to the authority, I think that's appropriate. This is a private business. This is a private owner. It would be like somebody coming to, Mr. President, your business, anybody's business here, and saying, we want your books open. I don't think that's appropriate at all. And also, to Senator Limmer's comments about the roof, and about, you know, I just like to comment a little bit about the roof. In this whole process with the working group, we really looked at just doing a redo on the Metrodome. And we had Mortensen's, or a private, or I shouldn't even say that name, but we had a company come and take a look at those and do the figures on it. It was $40 million less than what this stadium is going to cost now. $40 million. It doesn't seem very good use of people's money. So with this, we have a local partner, a state partner, and a private partner. And that private partner is paying, again, for 50% of the construction, a little less than 50% of the construction cost, and about 52 or 53% of the lifetime cycle cost.
Senator Limmer.
To that point.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sir Rosen, you said this language was not in the bill, but I'm reading off the conference committee report that we're debating right now, and I'm reading the language in your bill regarding financial information. Financial information that up in the same paragraph refers to all public and private funding. But despite the fact that it's public funding, any information that the authority has that's governing this is making it non-public. It means it's private. It means the public can't look at it. I don't even think the legislature can look at it after this is passed. And going down to the language on page 25, your comments about the private business, the NFL team, I would agree with that. But the NFL team is you've mentioned it many times, a partner in the stadium, and yet any information that the authority would have regarding the NFL, they about audited financial statements, they can only keep it within themselves, and again, the public is denied access despite the fact that we're making a considerable investment in the stadium for the benefit of this corporation. So, you know, being the chair on the Judiciary Committee, asking for the bill to be heard in the Judiciary Committee and then having it denied in the Tax Committee, we could have addressed this issue. And unfortunately, that was denied. The other question I did have, and that was coming up after Senator Wolf's comments about the soccer team, we had talked about the soccer team having, or the exclusive license rights to allow a soccer team to be allowed into the stadium. Now, in an earlier version, it was a 5-year lease that could have been rent-free. And I believe that has been changed. But the question that I have is in this document on page 26, starting on line 3, it makes reference. It gives particular license to an NFL team owner whose family owns at least 3% of the NFL team to purchase full or partial ownership in a major soccer league. Now, that's an exclusive license dictated by law that will be given to perhaps only one person, certainly one corporation. And yet, in Article 12 of our state constitution, there's a reference that prohibits us, the state, from granting to any private corporation or individual any special or exclusive privilege, immunity, or franchise. And I was wondering if that had ever been discussed. We would have discussed that in the Judiciary Committee, but was that aspect of the constitutionality of that paragraph, was that ever discussed in any committee?
Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Madam President. There we go. Senator Limmer, you hit on a few topics there, and I almost missed that last question. So if you would yield and just mention that, and then I can get back to the other things that you addressed.
Senator Limmer?
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Rosen, I'm referring to page 26, starting on lines 3. There's a reference that we are going to grant, we the state of Minnesota are going to grant to anyone who is a team owner, an NFL team owner whose family owns at least 3% of the NFL team, to purchase full or partial ownership in a Major League Soccer franchise. And in that, we are creating an exclusive license for one entity. Maybe it's a corporation or maybe it's a private individual. The question I have is, how does it jive with our state constitution? The state constitution in Article 12 clearly states that granting to any, this is what's prohibited in our constitution, granting to any private corporation, association, or individual any special or exclusive privilege, immunity, or franchise is prohibited in our state constitution. I'm just wondering, since we didn't have this come through Judiciary Committee, since that motion was denied by the Tax Committee, I'm just wondering if it had any other discussion. Have we had discussion about this particular paragraph in any other committee?
Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Limmer? We brought this certainly up on the floor in the 11 hours debate the other day. I believe that this doesn't necessarily say the current owner of the team that's going to invest in the stadium has the exclusive right. It just basically says an NFL team owner whose family owns at least 3% of the NFL team purchase, full or partial ownership in a major league soccer franchise. So we could have other owners come up and invest in this and play in this stadium. I also know that, you know, if you look on page 25, line 34, the authority shall, for 5 years after the first NFL team home game is played, grant that exclusive rights. But anybody at that time that fits this description that we have granted, these kind of descriptions we have granted to many other entities before. This is not unconstitutional. We do this, and we have done this. This is not new language at all. And this, the language that, again, I want to go back to the data privacy information that you brought out. This is current language as the bill was introduced, Senator Limmer. We have not changed this at all. And also to the question about their financials. I mean, I don't know of any private business that's going to open up their financials to the entire state. The authority represents the state. It clearly says on page 24, line 9, the NFL team must provide the authority access to the NFL team financial. The authority represents the state, and that's who will get those financials. This is a business, a private business, and I think we ought to respect that.
Senator Limmer.
Madam President, while we're on this subject, would this exclusion or this prohibition of any financial information that's considered now non-public, would that be available for the state auditor to look at? Or a legislative auditor? I know that in Minnesota statutes on auxiliary powers of the legislative auditor, all public officials and their deputies, all corporations, firms, and individuals having business involving the receipt, disbursement, or custody of public funds shall at all times afford reasonable facilities for examinations by the legislative auditor. I would assume that law gives the legislative auditor the right to examine financial information. I'm just wondering, was that in mind when this was written?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Limmer, page 3, line 14, the financial audits, legislative auditor will audit the financial statements. And we include the Minnesota Sports Facility Authority.
To that point, Senator Bonhoff?
Yes, Madam President. It was to the earlier comment that Senator Limmer made with regard to the collapse of the roof and the $20 million that went towards fixing that roof. And I think it's important for us all to know that this conversation is being observed. We see there's many people up in the gallery. We know people are watching at home, too. So I think it's important as we state what we believe that we make a point of making sure we give factual information so that we don't leave the public with an impression that may not be accurate. And I was left after Senator Limmer made those comments with the perception that we, the state, put forward that $20 million to fix that roof and that then we were just throwing that money away. And that is not, in fact, the case, that, in fact, the roof was repaired, but it was repaired with an insurance claim. Just like when I had a damage on my roof was fixed with an insurance claim. The entity paid into their insurance for many years, and then, of course, they have the benefit of that when there is a catastrophe. So let's try and make sure that we represent the facts as we put forward our arguments. And then the other thing, just to remind members, is that this is a conference report that is not amendable. And so while each person has the right and the privilege to express anything they want on this matter, that really this is about, you know, are we going to accept this piece of legislation before us? We don't have the opportunity anymore to change it.
So keeping also in mind the hours and the fact that we do want to honor our retirees and many other things, I would just remind members that this is not a debate of a bill, but a conference report. Senator Limmer.
On that point, Madam President, I'm glad we're having this discussion, Senator Bonhoff. Having a discussion about the cost of a roof is important for the public to understand. It's important for me to understand before, as a public policy maker, I need to have all of the facts as well. The more we talk about this bill, the more facts will emerge. And I think everyone would agree with that. And we have talked about it quite a bit, except for that little problem with the judiciary request. So those judiciary questions have to be asked now in a bigger room. The question that I have raised is just the question of process and whether or not we're making sure that we're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's when it comes to data and how do we share this information with the public, what's restricted and why. And I think that's vitally important when we're spending about $1 billion. That's just one of those things that we should do. It's what our public and these people up here in the audience expect us to do.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. When this bill passed our body just a few hours ago, I supported the bill. You know, I supported the bill thinking that it was the best possible deal for Minnesotans. I supported the bill twice coming out of two different committees. But I was shown now when this conference committee report come back that I was wrong. You know, I trust Senator Reinert, and I trust Senator Rosen and Senator Ingebrigtsen, and you know what? Because they brought back a better deal. I supported an amendment just a few hours ago to ask the Vikings to pay $25 million more than the deal that I voted for out of committee and off the floor, and I supported that. And you know what? Our conferees from the Senate brought back a better deal. They brought back a deal that's asking the Vikings to pay $50 million more. Members, our conferees did their job. They brought a better deal back for the Senate. They brought a better deal back for Minnesotans. And I trust them, and I trust this conference committee report. Much of the arguments we're having today on the floor have to do with the funding mechanism and gambling. You know what? I don't like to gamble that much. I'm not a big fan of it. We all know why we're in this situation. I think the people that have worked on this bill understand, and I think Minnesotans understand, that this funding mechanism is the mechanism that most Minnesotans can support and many on this body can support because it does some good. Certainly there's bad aspects of gambling. We understand those, and I agree with them. That's why I don't gamble a lot. That's why I'll ask my kids not to gamble. But it does do some good. I think about the St. Cloud Eagles, groups like the St. Cloud Eagles where I'm from, groups like the St. Cloud Lions, who just last summer I stood at a ribbon cutting, and the St. Cloud Lions opened up what they call a miracle field, a field for handicapped children. As we watched those volunteers roll those kids out on the field to play baseball and softball for the first time, you know, that field was built with money brought in through charitable gambling. I think about the over 150 kids that are going to be hitting the street this year in St. Cloud through the St. Cloud All-City Marching Band who receive charitable gambling proceeds from four different locations in central Minnesota. These 150 kids, ambassadors from St. Cloud, go out all the way across. In fact, those kids are going to be marching in the 4th of July in Philadelphia, the birthplace of this country. They're going to be marching in Philadelphia on the 4th of July in a parade because of charitable gambling, members. You know, I don't like it, but it does some good. You also know these hockey teams. We have youth hockey teams. We have Girl Scouts. We have Boy Scouts. Organizations receive from these institutions. And these are ambassadors to these communities. This is also going to give these businesses that market their business and bring folks in a boost as well. Members, I know this bill isn't perfect, But I think it's good. It's okay. It's a good deal for Minnesotans. Our conferees brought back a far better deal. They brought $50 million more back to Minnesotans than what they had when it went off the floor the first time. Members, just in general math, that's 10%. It's over 10%. Can you think what we have to go through at work to get a 10% raise? It doesn't happen. It certainly hasn't happened the last 3 or 4 years as we've come through this recession. Many of us, many of our constituents are working for less still than they were 4 years ago. But our conferees brought back a 10% gain on the deal that left here just a few hours ago. Members, it's the best deal for Minnesotans. It's the best deal for the Senate, and I hope you support it this afternoon.
Senator Latz.
Madam President, members, if you live in Shakopee or Chaska or Chanhassen or Eden Prairie or Prior Lake, Carver County, Scott County, Western Hennepin County, and you want to go to a Vikings game, you're going to have a choice. And the choice is going to be to get in your car and drive for 45 minutes, try to find parking downtown among the congestion, pay $20 or more for parking. Then after the game, fight your way out of downtown Minneapolis. Or, by the time the stadium is built, or soon thereafter, possibly, for $1.75, you can get on the Southwest Light Rail Corridor at Eden Prairie Center, or at the Mitchell Road Transit Station. Go downtown with someone else driving. Not worry about the congestion or accidents, or whether you're going to get there on time, no matter what the weather. And when you're done with the game, you don't have to walk 15 minutes to the parking and fight your way out of the downtown traffic and the highways to get back home again. It will be less expensive, less hassle, and much better all around. But members, we had an opportunity this year for $25 million or even for $14 million to secure our position on the federal transit list. So we retain our priority and access to $1.25 billion. I should say $1.125 billion, because with $1.25 billion total cost, Minnesota would only have to put up 10%, $125 million. That means every state dollar would leverage $9 from other sources, 90% from transit-dedicated sources. Members, in downtown Minneapolis, 40% of the downtown workers use transit. If you work at U.S. Bank, it's 50%. If you work at Ameriprise, Senator Chamberlain, 60% of the workers at Ameriprise in downtown Minneapolis use transit to get there. Gritter MSP, a marketing organization for the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area, regional economic development organization, reports that the single most frequent question they get from businesses thinking of moving to the Minneapolis-St. Paul region is about transit. In 2008, members, the Twin Cities region had the second fewest light rail route miles among their peers that offer light rail service. That's from the Legislative Auditor's Report. Of the 11 peer regions, Baltimore, Cleveland, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denver, Phoenix, Pittsburgh, Portland, St. Louis, San Diego, Seattle, and Tampa. And for those of you who say that transit has to pay for itself with user fees, let me tell you something. Roads don't pay for themselves with user fees. Federal gas taxes don't cover federal road funding. Minnesota user fees don't cover Minnesota road funding. And let me just highlight one other piece, the economic development piece. Within a half a mile of the Highway 12 corridor, the last proposed station on Southwest LRT, are 16,000 jobs. Within a half a mile of the Golden Triangle Business Park, 18,000 jobs. Opus Business Park, 11,000 jobs. The east end of Hopkins with Cargill and Supervalue, 5,000 jobs. Downtown Minneapolis, 147,000 jobs. Members, it just makes sense. I look forward to working with you to obtain the financial support for Southwest LRT in coming sessions.
Senator Hoffman? Senator Marty?
Thank you, Madam President and members. I think it's a foregone conclusion what will happen in a few minutes with the vote. I know it's been heavily talked about, and we've heard about a lot about it. I think since 1 in the morning when my staff left, I think we've had 190 identical emails from the Vikings fans, all of them asking for this subsidy to be passed. And I think we know the votes are there, and so we don't need to spend too long on this. But I think it is important. You can see how much money is involved by how much the lobbying effort's been, how many people, how much attention's been paid to it by the media and the lobbying. And I think the issue was summarized about 2 or 3 months ago when Mr. Mondale of the Sports Facilities Commission said, quote, "The whole reason we're doing this is so the team can make money." And that's despite the fact that it's been a very profitable enterprise right now. I know it's one of the bottom NFL teams in profitability, but very, very profitable nonetheless. And we're not going to change votes here, so I think it's not worth going into all the details, but there are a few things that we should say before we pass this out of here, before it goes, I assume, later today to be signed. This bill came back from conference committee, as was pointed out by several others, with the monopoly for the soccer team. And Senator Rosen, you may not see it as a monopoly, but the thing that struck me most is usually when we're going to give a certain business or entity something, we make it clear who they are. In this case, it's not just the investors in the team, but it's any of their family members. It's almost the royalty system. Well, if it's not the king, it's the family of the king, and so on. And it is, no matter what you want to say it, they're the only ones who get this provision. And maybe you think they deserve it or they need it. And I think a lot of Minnesotans would like to have soccer here, but that's why we don't need to make a monopoly for one family. And the parking ramps. I remember the mayor of Minneapolis saying they weren't taking money off the property tax rolls, but later saying, well, they're taking little bits and pieces off. And some of those parcels that they're taking off the property tax rolls, making them property tax exempt, and then we're using public money to build public parking ramps on them. And then we turn over the revenue for all the Vikings parking game days from those ramps goes to the team, not to the public. We take it off the tax rolls, build a public building on it, give all the money to them. And the provisions of the charter amendment, a lot of people, including a lot of Minneapolis City Council members, said they'd never override the will of the voters in the charter. We had a long discussion there already, but Senator Rosen, when you point out that you think you addressed that issue, I'll point to page 84, lines 20 and 21, notwithstanding this, or notwithstanding any charter provision. We are overriding the charter, and the state has the ability to do that. But we shouldn't pretend that the voters of Minneapolis in adopting that charter 3-1 did it so long ago, ancient history in 97, that they would have wanted to inflation adjust it. If they did, it would be 12, 13 million, not 10 million now. But the city is giving $300 million. It's clearly violating their intent of their thing. And maybe they're right. They have a attorney opinion saying this doesn't apply even without the legislation. But it's not even in writing. I've asked for it several times, never got it. So we are overriding that strong opposition of the voters in Minneapolis. I know it would be scary to have a referendum and it might not pass. And the bill came back from conference committee with the construction materials exempt from sales tax. And some people like to think that's not a taxpayer subsidy, but it is. Any other business buying their materials have to pay sales tax on it. I believe the estimates are it's about $22 million, which is larger than it was earlier, in an additional subsidy in that. and the gambling expansion. We're largely funding this through expansion of gambling. Some say it's not an expansion, but it's bringing $60 million more dollars a year to the taxpayers that we can then spend on the stadium. I think somebody in the House joked we should call it the Losers Stadium because it's going to be funded by people, a lot of whom have gambling addictions. I'm pleased, I forgot to check, but I think gambling addiction language is still in the bill, and that's important because we're making the gambling problems worse. And the bottom line is, in this bill, the taxpayers are going to be funding the vast majority of the stadium. I know the team's going to contribute some of the money they make from the naming rights to our stadium. Some of the money make from the suites built by taxpayer money. They'll donate some of the proceeds from the stadium that we're putting the public money in for. And I just wanted to say a couple of things about disappointments. Certainly disappointed in the process, the closed door meetings. Senator Michelle said we've had so much time for debate on this. Senator Rosen said the same thing. As Bill Witt's first hearing 4 weeks after the deadline, meaning that no more hearings, 4 weeks after the deadline it gets its first hearing, then the one committee I had a chance to ask, team or others, tax committee, we didn't have time. And I understand it was late at night, not that many days ago, late in the session. We don't have a lot of time left. They push it off to the end, not starting the hearings till 4 weeks after everybody else is done. Because we can't do it too early, and then we don't have time to address it because we can't ask our questions. So saying we had a thorough vetting of the bill, we don't have that. Disappointments in the process. 2 days ago, whenever we passed this bill on the Senate floor, have a delete everything amendment with things that I understand inadvertently weren't disclosed to us. Why did we do that? Because we needed to make it easier for staff to prepare the side-by-side for the conference committee. Then we hear they didn't even meet until after the report was put out. I mean, if we're going to do it, let's be upfront about it. It's convenient to put things into a delete everything amendment, even if people can't see it. But that's a disappointment with the process. Again, bypassing the rules. We don't do that for most other bills. I know we do it for special things at times, but every step of the process, it was not unexpected. It was, we knew when it came time, they'd suspend the rules, they'd bypass the committee deadlines, and so on. And, you know, the Vikings, Senator Rosen, you just keep saying that, you know, you don't expect any private business to open their books to us. You don't expect any private business to do that. Well, most private businesses aren't asking us for hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money. And it seems appropriate that maybe when somebody's coming here hat in hand saying, we need your money, that we could see why we're doing it. Again, as Ted Mondale said, the whole reason we're doing it is so that the team can make money, as if they're not making money now. I'm also disappointed, equally disappointed, with the priorities from the Republicans, and I'm an outsider to that party, to be sure. I remember last, I think it was January or February a year ago, a letter signed by 37 Republican senators, I think 37 out of 37 senators, signing a letter to Governor Dayton saying they'd accept no new taxes and no new revenues. And it was clear, not for education, not for health care, not for transportation, not for public safety. But this year we see for some, well, we'll make an exception to the no new taxes, no new revenues for a stadium subsidy because it's that important. And again, I'm not a member of that party and I don't understand all the thinking behind that, but it does seem to say that that's the priority. We won't raise taxes or revenues for anything else, but this is the priority. I'm equally disappointed with my own party. So many times we talk about our priorities, early childhood, K-12, higher education, health care, transportation, people with disabilities. But in the end, those tend to get pushed aside. Just take the issue of public housing, homelessness. Yes, I'm really, really pleased that there's $30 million for public housing and affordable housing in the bonding bill. The need's much greater than that. We could create far more construction jobs per dollar spent if we rehabbed our public housing, if we met that need, then we create by the stadium. For building trades, construction jobs, all over the state, there's a lot of real need for public infrastructure we should be investing in. Basically, for both parties and the entire process, none of the proponents will say this is the highest priority. We've got other priorities. Other priorities, but in the end, this is the one we suspend the rules for, we extend the session for. Remember, we were promised we'd be out of here by April 30th. That was the final deadline. We don't extend sessions for extra weeks for one, for other priorities. Why? For this one. I think it's time to, we will be voting on this, and regardless of what happens, I don't think there was a chance the team would leave if we didn't do this. I know there's the slim chance they would, just like we had the North Carolina Twins when they lost several years ago. We can make all the arguments of the economics. We're not going to listen to the economists. We're going to listen to CSL and the team economists and all their revenue projections. Inflated though they may be, the 7,000 jobs, it's actually about 700 full-time three-year jobs over the course of the construction. But we're going to ignore what the economists say about how sports facilities, investments in the public don't add to the economy. And as we go forward, as the bill is signed later today, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about the team protesting about how tough this bill is. They'll grumble about it and debate whether they can live with it or not, and the proponents of the bill who are voting for it will all be proud of that, because that way they can go to their constituents and say, you know, we really cut a hard deal for the taxpayers. We cut a very tough deal for the taxpayers. Look, the Vikings are complaining about it. And the owners will be crying all the way to the bank. No, the team isn't going to share its financial data with us, so we look real quickly, my final point. We look at what the sports economists, Forbes magazine, those folks say about it. Forbes magazine last fall in their annual review of the teams, I think they say the Vikings are the third or fourth lowest in revenues, in profits for the team. They'll tell you that since Mr. Wolf bought the team for $600 million in 2005, team's only gone up in value by $200 million in a recession. It's 33% capital gain during one of the worst recessions in our nation's history. Plus, they made operating profits in millions of bucks a year, all but one year they've owned the team. Plus, in 2014, they're going to get an extra $80 million per year per team in the NFL from the new media contracts. $80 million a year, more than enough to pay for the entire stadium. Every year would pay for almost double the debt service on this thing in new proceeds from the new NFL media contract. It's a very profitable business. Most Minnesotans, even if they have only small amounts to invest, would be happy with 33% capital gains during a recession. But again, as the MF Sports Facilities Commission pointed out, the whole reason we're doing this is so the team can make money. In the 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 hours since the conference committee report was put out, I haven't had a chance to analyze the final version, what the cost of the taxpayer subsidy is. A few days ago, it was the all-time number one largest in sports history. And this may not be, maybe it's second or third largest taxpayer subsidy of any team, but it's clearly one of the biggest. And I think there's so many other priorities. I think it's a big disappointment. State will move forward. We'll build a beautiful stadium. The Vikings will be very profitable. Maybe they'll win a Super Bowl someday. We're waiting for that, and we're hopeful. But I think it says something tragically wrong about our priorities around here. Both parties are pushing this, making it the priority as much as we don't want to say that. I think it is. And again, I'm sure the team will complain about the revenues they're not getting, but they'll be laughing all the way to the bank.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I know we're trying to wrap things up here, so I'll make this as brief as possible. Members, did you hear what Senator Marty said? $60 million a year from gambling revenues. $60 million a year. You know, over the past couple of weeks, I've been very diligent to look as I go in and out of gas stations, as I have lunch at some of the restaurants that have pull tab booths, even right here in St. Paul, back in my hometown of Brooklyn Park. I tried to be observant as I was around these locations. I'm not a big gambler, so I don't usually pay attention to those things, but I tried to be observant over the last 2 weeks and specifically paid attention to who was enjoying that entertainment. And members, what I found was that the folks who were enjoying that entertainment were the blue-collar workers, the college students, the elderly, for the most part, folks who I believe would have a difficult time paying for a Vikings ticket to go see even one of these games. That's who we're using to buy a stadium for a billionaire owner. Members, that's what we're doing here today. Now, I'm pretty passionate about this issue. Without going into too much detail, I have extended family members, one in particular, that struggles with gambling. And I've seen the damage firsthand that it can do to a family. So please believe me when I say it is real. When we take this vote today, we are destroying families. We are buying a stadium on the back of the blue-collar worker and those who cannot afford it. If you look at your fiscal note right here, according to the Gambling Control Board, the new forms of gambling authorized in the bill are expected to increase charitable gambling activity, and the estimates reflect this increased activity. We're not being more efficient, members. We're sucking more money out of a working class that can't afford to give it up. And not only that, but I would also argue that these dollars would have been spent on other forms of entertainment. I'm not going to belabor the point and go over all the concerns that we've had that have already been mentioned about the process. You know, I guess the only thing I would like to mention is it's been said that we've had plenty of time to contribute to this bill. Members, no, we haven't. Take a look at how this bill moved through the committee process. Each stop along the way, things were added to get members to vote it out of a committee. The next stop, they were taken out. Closed-door negotiations. You know, our colleague, Senator Thompson, made reference to a song as we debated this off the floor the last time. The Warren Zevon song, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Well, I got another one. How about Kenny Rogers, the gambler? You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Members, time to walk away from this one. The dealing has definitely been done, and we've lost.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Madam President. And just as a member of the conference committee, I thought I would take a moment to make a couple comments on the motion that we have, and that's adopting the conference committee report. Members, and I know Senator Daley can appreciate this, especially in the military, we have a phrase called voluntold. And when my name was first suggested for this committee, that's kind of what ran through my mind. But Senator Rosen, I want to thank you for the opportunity to work with you on this. Senator Ingebrigtsen, we got to be friends a couple years ago when we went to build together. You know, and on the House side, Representative Lanning, members, you may not like the bill, you may not like various provisions in it, but I have to say we had a class group of people that were working on this, thoughtful, hardworking, really trying to pay attention to the details, really trying to work through the best process we could. And I also want to say, and I'm sure Senator Rosen's going to do this as well, but, you know, this is certainly the biggest conference committee I've ever participated in, maybe the biggest one that I ever will. But boy, we have great staff here. I'm just absolutely amazed by the quality of people that we have trying to assist us. And thank goodness, you know, we come from all walks of life. We do various other things. I'm a college teacher, not an expert in building stadiums, but try to be thoughtful about the policy we're taking on. And we sure have smart people that are around here to help us get where we're trying to go. You know, I've had, I think, somewhere around 12 to 15 hours of sleep in the last 3 days, and I'm not going to complain because I know there's people in this body that have had less than that. And it seems like we're always at this point at the end of the session, and this year we just have an especially big issue that a lot of people are taking a look at. I think when I logged in this morning, I had 500-some new emails. That was just since 10 o'clock last night. Minnesotans are watching. Minnesotans are paying attention. Members, as we walk through this, I'm not going to get into a lot of the provisions that some of you have already talked about, but a comment was made earlier that really rang true for me, and it's one reason I think I ended up on the conference committee, or at least it's the reason that I was willing to accept that role. I really wanted to advocate for, let's not do this again. You know, is this the highest priority for the state of Minnesota? I will tell you that, in my opinion, the answer is no. K-12 education, repaying that shift. Property tax relief, when we've seen double-digit property tax increases across the state of Minnesota. Getting a bonding bill that was fair and equitable to all corners of the state. Those were what I think were the highest priorities. But yet this is an important issue to many Minnesotans. And it's what is on our plate. So you deal with what's on your plate and try to work hard for the things that you still think need to get done. But my concern is we couldn't get some of those things done because this is what kind of took all the energy out of the room, all the energy out of the building. It's what people here wanted to talk about. It's what the public wanted to talk about. I think I told the story before that on a particular drill weekend, we all went to lunch and everybody was talking about the Viking Stadium. And frankly, I just got frustrated and I said, every one of you has kids here in K-12 education, and the state owes, at that point, it was 2.7. The state owes them $2.7 billion, but you want to talk about the Viking Stadium? And they said, yep. that's where folks were at. So, members, how do we get to a point where we're never in this situation again, where we can't do what I think are legislative priorities because we're dealing with professional sports and entertainment venues? Well, members, it's the commission and authority language that we brought in here. And if we want to roll ourselves back to the conversation we often have about, you know, did we win the Senate position or did the House win their position? Members, we're the only ones that had that language. I'd like to say that we did what the Senate does well. We were the thoughtful body. We looked at big-time policy. We tried to look ahead into the future and say, what are we going to do the next time one of these comes up? Are we going to spend an entire session, or in this case, you know, really, Senator Rosen, I know you better than most, several sessions trying to deal with one issue? And I think the answer is going to be no. We have this legislative commission that's going to be 6 senators and 6 House members, and they're charged with 3 really important things. Number one, they're charged with oversight of this project. We know it's the biggest project the state of Minnesota has ever done, biggest civil project, and we as legislators are supposed to do financial auditing and oversight. And that commission's going to be charged with it. If you have a passion about that, join me. I hope to be a member of it, and I would ask you to come on and be a member as well. Number two, and I think most importantly, they're charged with looking down the road. Let's get all of these venues under one umbrella. And let's give a group of people who are smart and who do this the time and resources to refurbish, rehab, rebuild as necessary. I'm a college teacher. All of you have other occupations. To my last knowledge, I don't think any of us are professional sports arena architects or builders. There are other people that are smart at that. Let's have them do that work, and let's do what we're supposed to do as legislators and provide oversight. And then number three, and this is an issue that the Senate has continually brought up, and I also don't think it really came up in the House discussion at all, Well, let's figure a way to get these venues that are publicly supported, whether they're the Excel, Target Field, Target Center, a new stadium, to stop competing against each other and driving each other to the lowest common denominator so that we end up with these situations where big-time artists come and play for free in a publicly supported venue. That's not where we want to be. And we do that by getting them all under one ownership structure. And members, we have now the language in place to do that. Again, if you're interested in the big policy and how to be smarter about this the next time around, please join me and let's do that. We've got the placeholder now to do that. But again, Senator Rosen, Senator Ingebretson, hard work, but a pleasure to serve with you on this. And I will be voting yes on adopting the conference committee report. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't want to go into all of the points and in the arguments that I made in the first round of debate on this, other than to highlight that the significant flaws that I hoped maybe could be addressed in the bill still are there. You know, we vacated the Minneapolis Charter. It doesn't apply. It's in the bill. We said to the residents and the voters in Minneapolis, what you said does not matter. And that's just not right. That's wrong. The funding mechanism, you know, the infamous phrase foo-foo dust, it's still there. We have an underlying mechanism that is unproven, doesn't have a history. The revenue projections are speculative. And you've all had the conversations around here. You talk to the same people I do. Everybody shares that same concern. And members, there are, I would suggest, maybe I'm wrong, but I would suggest a majority of the members in this chamber who, when they talked about a Viking stadium, if they weren't the heck no, they probably said, well, if we can do it without spending general fund money. Well, we're all going to vote the way that we're going to vote, and I don't know the votes are going to change. But at least go in eyes wide open, because you are spending general fund money and you will put the general fund on the hook when the revenues don't show up. Mark my words, we'll be back here. Maybe I'll be back, maybe I won't. Some of you will be back here. Hopefully I'll be back here. And we're going to have to address the revenue shortfalls. Maybe next year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. In order for this to work, the assumptions are that, I believe the number is, we have to increase the charitable gambling $1.9 billion. And we're assuming that this fancy new whiz-bang electronic pull tab slot machine type machine, that it's so appealing that we're going to bring in all of these new gamblers. But yet 80% of the existing paper pull tabs are going to still stay there. That's a pretty big assumption. And we're going to assume that that works for 30 years. Members, we're taking the money right out of the general fund. Right out. We're not setting up a special revenue fund. We're not setting up a special appropriation fund. The money flows right into and right out of the general fund. And if there's not enough flowing in, we have to make up the difference to pay for the bonds. Because if we do not, we will destroy our credit rating. And there's no way. There's no way this body, there's no way the governor, there's no way the legislature will allow that to happen. Now, even if you say Goldman Sachs ran some numbers and we should believe them, and they're really good at prognosticating, projecting, whatever. Well, let's take a look at real life. What has happened in real life? Right from the Gambling Control Board, the recent report from 2009. From 2004 through 2009, charitable gambling decreased 20%. It decreased 20%. Now, we're assuming that it's going to go up when this bill passes, something like 130%, that it's going to more than double and then maintain that for 30 years. But what's happened in real life? It's decreased 20%.
Now, the other body has a research department, and they have a nice research paper on this issue, and they look back a little farther, and they went from 2000 to 2009. In that 10-year period, charitable gambling decreased 31%. That's not projection. That's real life. And somehow we believe that we are going to more than double gambling in the state of Minnesota, charitable gambling, more than double, increase it $1.9 billion, when the last 10 years has demonstrated that exactly the opposite is happening. Now, members, I wish I could say this is delicious irony, but it leaves kind of a sour taste in my mouth. I believe it was the day after the House passed this provision the first time. And there was a prominent newspaper in Minnesota, the Post Bulletin out of Rochester, and above the fold, there was an article. And the headline or the opening line said, "Viking Stadium supporters scored a major victory on Monday when Minnesota House voted in favor of a deal to build a $1 billion stadium in Minneapolis." But what was below the fold? A little local article about the Youth Hockey Association. In the first words, "Pull tab gambling has started to look like a losing bet." Imagine that. In the same paper, we're going to build a stadium, and we're going to do it with pull tab gambling, electronic pull tabs, scratch offs, whatever they are. And we're going to keep 80% of the existing paper, and we're going to build 1.5 times with this new electronic version. But what's happening in real life? And members, when this doesn't work, it's money right out of schools, right out of welfare, right out of health care, right out of you name it, everything we spend money on, because we will not default on these bonds. We can't. It's not an option. This is a general fund bill. It is general fund spending. And if you told your constituents that you wouldn't vote for a bill that spends general fund money, you better not vote for this. Because when you go back home, they're going to ask you, "Why didn't you tell me the truth?"
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. I've sat through two hearings on this proposal and listened to lots of debate on the Senate floor here. And one of the issues that I listened to intently was that objection that some members have to the gaming aspect of this bill, to the gambling aspect of this bill. And you know, I understand that. I'm not a gamer either. And gambling has wreaked great havoc in many people's lives. And that's why I thank Senator Hand for inserting the proposal that requires that we do get a report on what percent of revenues come from problem gamers. We do need to know that. But you know, members, the fact of the matter is, gaming is much like consuming alcohol. Many people consume alcohol responsibly. Some do not, with great travesty. Gaming is the same way. Many game responsibly, but some do not, and with great travesty. And so I'm glad we have the report so we can keep track and make sure that we are helping those problem gamers. There's a second misconception. I don't want any of the public to think that Minnesota Senate, the Minnesota senators, do not appreciate businesses that make money in this state. As a matter of fact, we do not manufacture money in this place. We depend upon the businesses that make profits. It is those businesses that pay the taxes that we so lengthy discuss in how we should spend that money. We should be embracing businesses that make money. And I want to be perfectly clear that this senator from Olmsted County likes businesses that make money in Minnesota. I wish there were more of them. And we need those profits. So let's not in any way leave the misconception that Minnesota Senate does not embrace businesses. In fact, you know, we depend on those profits, and that's where we get the taxes. However, you know, sometimes we even tax those that don't make profits, like in the business property tax. And lastly, I would just like to thank Senator Rosen, the working group, for bringing this proposal before us. And quite frankly, though, I wish they had been with me in Rochester a few years ago when we built a small office building. You know, it never occurred to me to ask my prospective tenants to fund half of the office building that we would be owning. It never occurred to me to even ask that, or to ask that they pay for the operating costs of this building either. And heavens, I never thought to ask them to only be in the building a few days out of the year. So, in fact, I think had I known, I don't think I'd find any tenants like that in Rochester or anywhere else. Members, I urge a green vote on this. I believe it's good for Minnesota, and it's probably time to vote.
Not quite. Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President, members. I will try to keep this short, and as I have for the past 10 years, but members and citizens that know me know I read the bills. My bill is marked up, it's tabbed, it's highlighted, it's cross-referenced. I get serious into the bills. I don't like this kind of thing. I don't like the citizens funding things, but sometimes we have to wake up to the reality that the train is leaving the station. This bill's going to pass, I think. And you have the choice of watching it go and saying goodbye and praying for your citizens' wallets, or you have the choice to keep moving with it and hoping that you can affect the outcome in a positive way. So, as I leave the Senate today, it's my last day here, I'm looking at this bill and I'm saying, I think I could be part of making this outcome work. I think I could. And I think I have been that way on a lot of bills in the Senate for the past 10 years. And so, this new group has a lot of authority as I'm looking at it. I don't think that gambling is going to work on this. I don't think it's going to bring in the right kind of funding, and nor do I like gambling. But I'm just going to put out there to members, and I'm going to follow this. I'm going to follow this authority. In fact, I'm going to commit to you that I'm going to sign up and hope that I get selected to be on this group, because I will put time and passion into this. I will report the options. I would, in getting on this group, come back to you and tell you how we can do it in a way that does not negatively affect our folks. So that is our choice today. If it is indeed leaving the station, is to vote green and follow it and move it and change it and be part of making it successful, or backing off and pointing to it later and hoping it's not successful so you can poke fun at people. I don't believe in that. If we think something's a problem, I'm the kind of guy that always looks at it and says, how can I make that problem a success? And that's what I hope to do in the future with this.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. I neither am I going to go over the details of the bill. And I agree with my colleagues that I think the votes are there, and I think this is going to pass. And I'm also, but I do want to address some things that I think that some voices haven't been heard. I've heard that the majority of Minnesota wants this stadium. And I'm not so sure I believe that based on where the polls come from, because I haven't found that in my experience when I've been out talking to my constituents. But I do want to speak on behalf of people like myself who, when I was a private citizen, did not believe in public funding of stadiums. And I think their voices haven't been heard, and I think that they need to be heard. I believe that it's wrong that government can use its force to force one group of people to pay for another group's entertainment. And I've been fairly consistent on that across the board in my tenure here at the Senate. And like Senator Jungbauer, this is also my last day here. So I believe the people that believe that I do will have at least part of their voices heard. And this is all for nothing. Maybe my standing here on the floor today will mean nothing to change anybody's mind. I don't believe that it will. But I want to leave people with a couple of quotes, because I think that a society that fails to learn from history is a society that is doomed to fail. And I do believe that we are now entering a time of bread and circuses, a time where we can appease people with entertainment and food. And that's the metaphor for bread, and the bread and circuses is the metaphor for a form of appeasing the masses. And I also believe, and this is a de Tocqueville quote, the American public will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. Have we not learned anything from the fall of Rome? We build great coliseums to ourselves, and we forget what our job is here as senators in a representative republic. And that means that all people are to be treated equal under the law. And this bill will make that all people are not treated equal under the law. Perhaps now in our country the majority does rule. And so maybe I'll leave you with this, and maybe we can think about this. What happens when you're in the minority? Three wolves and a lamb are standing around, and they're trying to decide what's for dinner. And I'll leave you to figure out who lost that bet.
Senator DeCraif.
Thank you, Madam President. I was sitting here trying to decide if I even wanted to speak to this bill or not, but I decided I would. I'm a Vikings fan. I would love to see a new stadium, and I had an idea that I could vote for, and I did vote for, but it didn't pass, and so that's okay. But there's a number of things that are in this bill that I just have to talk about, and I have to bring up again. If this gaming doesn't work out, which I don't think it will, the taxpayers of Minnesota will be on the hook. And that's one of the things that I've always said I won't do. I will not vote for a bill that is going to make the taxpayers on the hook for this money, and I believe there's a very good chance they will be. I mentioned this one time before, or maybe even a couple times, but in the little town of Elysian that I live near, if these numbers are going to work, a local that comes up to town that now spends $30 on poll tabs would have to spend $70 for this to work. Somebody that was going to have a big night and spend $100 would now have to spend $230 for these numbers to work. And when I talk to some of my local bar owners, they tell me they don't think that's going to happen. And quite frankly, I don't think I want that to happen. That's a lot of gambling dollars that are going out of our little town. Now, there's a backup plan that was put in place, a blink on. But the grand total of that is speculated to be about $3.1 million, which isn't going to come close to covering the cost of this. When I ran for office, one of the things that I said I wanted to do is make Minnesota a better place for my kids and grandkids. I think it's a good thing to keep the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, but it's a bad thing to put my kids and grandkids on the hook for paying for this at the expense of schools, nursing homes, and people that really do need help in Minnesota. So what I want to leave you with is I think this bill was brought through behind closed doors. There were rules bent. I'm not sure if they were broken, but they certainly were rules that were bent. And what I want to do is I wanted a straight-up discussion. That's actually why in my amendment might not have passed, because I took all the fluff out of it. I just had a straight-up amendment. And that's what I think this should be. But that's not what it is. There's a lot of vote buying that was going on in this bill. There's a lot of fluff in this bill as well, and it's going to be at the expense of my kids and grandkids. And that's why I cannot vote for it.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, the easy vote today is the yes vote. That's the easy one, because who doesn't love the Vikings? They're a great team. They have great fans. Football games are fun. They're good for the economy. They're an asset. They're part of our culture. When I see my kids wearing the braids,
I know that they have had an impact in the state of Minnesota and our culture. The easy vote today is yes. And members, the pressure to deliver up that yes vote is immense. The NFL wants this bill. The Vikings want the bill. The business community, the partnership, the chamber, the labor unions, the governor, the pressure is immense. And how many times have we heard that if we change this bill, even the slightest bit, it is a deal killer? Those are pretty big words, deal killer. I heard that more times in this session than I have ever heard it before. Deal killer. Oh, deal killer. That's a deal killer. The pressure is immense to vote yes. And then we hear, well, if we don't deliver up a bill today, they're going to leave. More pressure. It's easy to say yes. The hard vote today is no. Now, I don't know how many folks in this chamber received emails and tweets like I saw. Stupid. Dense. Concussion syndrome, I heard that one. Spiteful, vengeful, cowardly, disingenuous. And my son must be ashamed if I vote no. Because I mentioned that my son is a big Vikings fan. Wow. I know the fans want this stadium. It would be a great thing. It's going to be a great stadium. You're going to get your stadium today. But the pressure, as I said, is enormous to vote yes. And that's the easy thing to do today, members. But I want you to know that if you put the yes vote up today, your responsibility does not end today. I think it's even greater going forward, because you've made a commitment on the part of all the taxpayers in this state, all of the residents in this state, that this is a good thing for the state. And now you have an even greater responsibility to make sure that's true. To make sure that the taxpayers don't pay. To make sure that this gambling isn't a bad thing for the state. To make sure that we do no harm in passing the stadium. And I would say you've got an even greater responsibility. What about all the other businesses and the other communities that aren't going to get the relief they need in this economic recession? What about them? Are you going to take that responsibility seriously too, or are you just going to put up that green vote and go home? We have an even greater responsibility around here if we pass this bill. The easy vote, members, is yes. A wise man once said, "I don't want yes men around me. I want everybody to tell me the truth, even if it costs them their jobs." Members, tell the truth here. This is a good deal for the Vikings. It's a great deal for the fans, the NFL. Good deal for the governor. Good deal for labor. Good deal for big business. But the truth is, it's not a good deal for the state of Minnesota. There are a lot of things in this bill that will become great burdens in the future, including the new reliance on expansion of gambling, the fact that our general fund is at risk, the fact that our general fund will expand and we will become even more reliant in the future on gambling for general fund spending. And there's the further risk that we hurt our society with this, and we hurt the charities that we're expecting to have a good partnership here. There's a lot of risk. And that risk doesn't end when you put up the yes vote. It only begins. Members, the easy vote is the yes vote. If you're going to vote yes, be prepared to take on the remaining responsibility that goes along with the stadium.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. I had no intention of speaking twice here today on this topic, but I did have one final point that I wanted to point out relative to my earlier comments, that if you are a senator voting on this bill today and you told your constituents that you do not support spending general fund money, that you will not vote for a bill that puts the general fund on the hook, you can't vote for this bill, for this report. In this bill,
there are 32 references to the general fund. 31 of them are new language. And let me read you just some examples of where this money comes right out of the general fund. Page 5, line 13. At the end, it says, are appropriated from the general fund. Page 5, line 19, again, are appropriated, and it goes on to the from the general fund. On page 33, line 24, appropriated each fiscal year from the general fund. Page 37, line 20, transferred as accrued from the general fund. Page 48, line 20, amounts are appropriated from the general fund. And page 48, line 3, the appropriation from the general fund. So members, if you campaigned, or if after you were elected, you told your constituents that you will not vote for a bill that spends general fund money for a Viking stadium to subsidize a sports stadium, if you campaigned, if you told your constituents that you will not support a bill that puts the general fund on the hook to subsidize a sports stadium, and if you want to stay honest, you cannot vote for this bill. So if you made public statements, and maybe you want to quick Google yourself, if you made public statements to that effect, you better vote no.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President, and I want to add my thanks to Senator Rosen for the tenacious job that you've done on this particular bill, and thank the conferees for their job, and thank everybody who's going to vote for this today, and thank all the fans who've been around here encouraging us to do this. Members, I think there's some really good things about this bill, and one of the things that happened is that because of the votes that were on both the House and the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate, the Vikings will now pay $50 million more than was originally negotiated. Supposedly that was a deal breaker, but it didn't break the deal. There's going to be upwards of 7,500 construction jobs created as a result of this bill. And we all talked about this being a job session when we came in here. Well, we've created real jobs by coming in here. And after the place is built, there's going to be thousands of hospitality jobs that will continue to be good-paying jobs for a real long time, as long as that building is being utilized. So these are all really good things that have happened as a result of this bill. And, you know, nobody is really going to be forced to pay for this bill, because this is all about people who want to do what the funding source dictates that they do. So if you want to go and play the games and support the charities and support this bill, it's your choice. And members, as long as one of our members brought up history, I think we can't afford to forget the history of sports and how important it is to our states and to our country. And that at one point in time, we had the Lakers in Minnesota. And the Lakers went to Los Angeles, and we got the Muskies. And the trophies were in Los Angeles. And then we got the Timberwolves after we lost the Muskies, and the trophies were still in Los Angeles. And then we had the North Stars, and we could have kept the North Stars for a $10 million loan. And the North Stars went to Dallas. $465 million later, at least $65 million, if not more of it, was public money. We had the Wild, and the Stanley Cup was in Dallas. Now, I don't know if the Vikings would leave if we didn't do this bill today, but I can tell you this. In every city where an NFL team has left and gone to a different city, whether it's Baltimore or Cleveland or St. Louis or Los Angeles or Oakland, every single time they've lost that NFL team, they've tried to get another NFL team back. And the cost of getting that team back was much more expensive than had they kept the original team. I think the fact that we've got a substantial contribution coming from the Vikings, that the state's a partner in this, that the people of Minnesota have told us overwhelmingly that they want it, that we're doing the right thing. And quite frankly, Senator Ortman, I don't know if this is an easy vote, but I do know that I think it's the right vote. And I can't sit down without one last football analogy. When we vote for this today, and I believe we will vote for this, and the governor signs it, we've crossed the goal line, and we've scored a touchdown. And it's a touchdown for the legislature, it's a touchdown for the state of Minnesota, and it's a touchdown for Vikings fans, as I found out, all over the world. Vote yes, members.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. That look sends me a message that I should have a short talk here, so I'm going to do that. Madam President, members, I rise in support of the bill, and I have to just give you a little rundown as to how I got involved. I have to admit that I have not been terribly involved in the process, the long process that Senator Rosen and Representative Lanning have been involved in over the years. And I appreciate the opportunity, and I think probably to bring a unclouded objective mind to the conference committee, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. And I know Senator Reinhart actually had worked on this some as well. But members, a couple things I'd like to make. This is a $975 million proposal for the state of Minnesota. $348 million will be paid for by the state, $150 by the city of Minneapolis. And we can get into how those things are funded and whether they should be or should not be, this and that. We've had plenty of discussion of that. But members, the partner that's willing to put up $477 million. Now, I think about that, and that's a pretty good partner. I know there's been lots of comments about a billionaire and why we're doing this for a billionaire and millionaires and the millionaire football players that play here, why are we doing this? Folks, this is entertainment. This is what we work for. Minnesotans work to come to the game on Sundays. They work to stop off at Papa Murphy's after church on Sunday to get that pizza. Stand in line, by the way, in my town to get that pizza, to go home and watch the Sunday game. That's what it's all about. Yes, in fact, the NFL wants it. Certainly the team owner wants it. He certainly knows how to make money. There's no question about that. But who we're forgetting about are the fans, the hundreds of thousands of fans. And I would say literally thousands of fans that have emailed me and called me or even sent me mail over the last month. That's what this is all about. It's the fans. Now, I want to get a little bit into the aspects of this and some of the areas that one would think that I would not be in favor of, and that would be gaming. Members, what we've done to our local bars and restaurants in the state of Minnesota some years ago when I was here is we cut out their smoking ban. We passed legislation, .08 legislation, which I think is a good thing because I don't want drunks out on the road killing anybody. I've seen the end result of that. I don't have to get into that. I don't drink myself, so I don't drink and I don't gamble. But members, who am I? Who am I to stand on this body and say, you can't gamble? It's your money. You can't spend it on gaming. You can't drink. Those are personal rights, members. And if they want to do that to help fund a stadium like this, who am I to say that you can't do that? Who am I? The charities is an issue. We fought hard, and I have to really thank Senator Rosen for looking out for the charities. And I know the House was looking out for more money for the charities, but members are getting a lot of money. Those charities are going to kid organizations like they always have in the past. And it's a good thing. But members, somebody's been very passionate about general fund. Those of us that ran in an election and said we didn't want to spend general fund money on a stadium. I was one of them, members. I still don't want to spend general fund money on a stadium. That was brought up a week and a half ago, if you recall. We were actually going to go bond for this. Who was going to pay for that? Those that were against it actually thought it was a good idea. That's general fund dollars, members. That's taxpayers' dollars. Not subsidized by any fees whatsoever. That is taxpayers' dollars. So I find those people being a little disingenuous. The general fund is going to be funding this because there's a revenue stream, members. Make no mistake about it. We do this all the time. Money in, money out. It has to go into the general fund. The law is set as such. So it is not general fund money. I don't care how many times it's said in this bill. The bottom line is the money's coming in and it's going out. If it wasn't coming in, and that can be questioned, you know, you can say maybe it's not going to be enough. We don't know. Gambling is maybe a gamble. But what we've put in place in this bill is a pretty good gamble for the state of Minnesota. We're pretty sure that it's going to fund the general fund, which in turn will pay for the debt service. That's what happens. So this is, make no mistake about it, not general fund money. Members, I want to thank again Senator Rosen and publicly Representative Lanning for all the hard work that they have done over the last years. And I also want to thank our Majority Leader for bringing this forward and allowing this to be brought forward. Without his ability to herd the cats, if you will, and we all know what that's about. When we have different points of view, we have 67 different points of view here in this body. Senator Sinjum done a tremendous job of organizing this and pulling it to the floor, and now Minnesotans are going to have an opportunity to do what's been coming for the last 10 years and vote for a stadium. Thank you.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. I lost my wheel on my chair here and just about broke my neck. So we're good, though. We're good. Senator Rosen is not here, but the first thing I want to do, Madam President, members, is thank Senator Rosen and all the members of the working group for their hard work and their efforts over the past 18-plus months on this issue. We have a very good bill in front of us, not a perfect bill, but we have a very good bill in front of us, and I just want to thank them again for all their hard work and their efforts. And Madam President, I'd like to ask for a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested and roll call granted. Senator Bach for the wrap up.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Rosen is coming on the floor. I want to offer a very sincere thank you to you from all the Viking fans in the state of Minnesota. Members, leadership is hard. And leadership comes with risk. Anybody can be a follower. Senator Ortman, anybody can vote no. Always find a reason to vote no on things. Members, the hard vote today is a yes vote. And public opinion is changing some on this issue. I think over the last few months, when this bill was introduced, back when snow was on the ground, I think there was probably less popularity for it than there is today. And Senator Sinjum, I want to thank you for your courage as a leader. Senator Sinjum and I were asked to be co-authors with Senator Rosen on this bill, and we said yes. And I know Senator Sinjum took some criticism from some members of his caucus for being willing to lead. And members, sometimes leadership is not a popularity contest. It's hard work. But I think down the road, when this new facility is built, we're all going to be really proud of it as Minnesotans. And when we get a Super Bowl here, everyone in this state is going to light up And we are going to be on national television for days and days and days. And that would have never happened if it had not been for Senator Rosen's leadership. Minnesotans need to know that the way this bill is crafted, if you never buy a pull tab and you never go to the game, you're never going to pay a dime. You got a good deal, Minnesotans. If you don't buy a pull tab or you don't go to a game, it's free. All those Minnesotans on Sundays and on some days, especially when Green Bay is playing, 80% of the TV sets in this state are tuned in. And they're all going to get it for free unless they go and buy a pull tab. Pretty good deal for Minnesotans. You know, I want to say something about leadership, kind of along the same theme of this. You know, members, we're going to wrap up today in this legislative biennium. We're going to have used 119 days. That is tied for the second longest legislative session in this state's history. We're going to use 250 calendar days. That, members, is the second longest calendar days since statehood. We're going to pass, assuming this bill gets signed and the revisor's bill gets signed, about 245 bills. Members, that's the fewest number of bills that has been signed into law since 1869. Members, I'll tell you a little something about 1869. In 1869, 22 members of the state Senate, with no computers, in 60 days, passed 245 bills. We've spent 250 calendar days here, 119 days in session, and we could only accomplish what 22 members of the Senate did with pen and a quill and no computers. Members, the reason I mention that to you is this session was about to go down in state history as the biggest do-nothing legislative session in our state's history. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because today Democrats are going to put up the majority of the votes to pass this bill. And that's going to come with some risk for Minnesotans. A week ago, we had to put up the vast majority of votes to pass a state bonding bill. Invest in our state's infrastructure because, I guess, to the majority in your caucus, that wasn't a priority. But members, if Democrats have not stood up this legislative session and led, you would have presided over the biggest do-nothing session the state has ever seen. And if Senator Rosen hadn't stood up and walked this bill through a very bumpy road, we'd have never had the opportunity to help you pass it into law. This is an incredible piece of bipartisan work. I wish that both caucuses were putting up 17 votes today. But based on what I saw in the House last night, that's not going to happen. Somehow the House Republicans, with 72 members, could only muster 31 votes, three short of half. So in the House, Democrats had to carry the load in the minority to pass the bill. And I believe we're going to be asked to do the same thing here today in the Senate. A new Republican majority, first time in 38 years here. is acting as a de facto minority because of your unwillingness to take some risk and lead. Senator Rosen, thank you for doing it. Senator Senjum, thank you for authoring the bill. This is a tough yes vote. It's never easy to vote against what you think the majority of your constituents want you to do. I got an email yesterday from a constituent of mine said, I'm never going to vote for you again. And I have voted for you in every election. I sent him a note back. Said, I'm sorry you've lost confidence in me. Members, Minnesotans are going to be proud of this facility when it's built. And I'm going to be proud of my green vote to make Minnesotans and our fans proud. And if I lose my election because of it, that's okay. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. But I trust Minnesotans. And I think those of you that vote no are probably at larger risk of losing your election than those of us that vote yes. I remember the glory days of the Minnesota Vikings, the Purple People Eaters. Huh? Some fans remember them? One of them's a Supreme Court judge today. Pretty good role model for Minnesota kids. Members, I would encourage the Republican caucus to put up half the votes. Join us. Join us in being the majority and doing for Minnesotans what I think at the end of the day Minnesotans are all going to be very proud of.
Senator Rosen renews her motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2958 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. Secretary will take the roll. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 38 ayes and 28 nays, the conference committee is adopted. Secretary will give Senate file, is it 25? Secretary will give House File 2958, its third reading.
House File 2958, a bill for an act related to stadiums, third reading.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President and members, my fellow colleagues in this chamber, this has been a very passionate last session. We've been at this for a very long time, and the motions are running very high about this issue, about this stadium. But we need to step back and start to think about why we hold this state dear. Why we think this state is so special. The 10,000 lakes, our great education system, the Guthries, the Walker, and the Vikings. Those people times 40,000 more. No, 100,000 more. Thank you for being here. Millions. Millions. And I do appreciate you all being here. I do appreciate these passions. We may disagree adamantly, and we have, obviously, on this floor, but that's what this is about. This is what we do in this chamber. We discuss, and we decide what we're going to do. And it's time to decide on this issue. People out there are saying, get it done. And I think it's appropriate we bring this to the floor, and we start believing in this investment and what's so special about this state. Because these millions of fans and our Vikings heritage is very, very important. And this is a guarantee that it's ongoing for the next 30 years. And that's very, very important. I'd like to say just a few things to the team owners and their belief in this state and their investment in the state is extremely admirable. And anybody who's a business owner can't imagine what they've been through in the last years, all these years that we've been at this trying to get a stadium vote. So thank you very much to these boys that have stuck with us, that have believed in this state, and they have made this investment, and we're going to have a really great stadium because of this. I'd also like to thank the local partner, Minneapolis. You stepped up to the plate admirably, and we are excited to be a partner with you and have a stadium in your great downtown. And again, thank you for Ramsey County for all their hard work, their diligence. I really appreciate it. We all appreciate it. And some people still believe that it should be in Arden Hills, but we have to move on. And I'm looking forward to that groundbreaking ceremony in downtown Minneapolis at the old site. A special thank you to our governor. He's been a very committed partner in this venture, and I appreciate and respect his vision on this. He gets it. His folks behind him get it. All the people that have put thousands of hours into this project. You cannot imagine how much work this has been to get this thing done. I'd also like to thank, and I'm going to keep this short because we are tired, but the staff, as Senator Reinhart said, has been outstanding on this project. And we have asked a lot, and they have delivered. So I'm not going to start naming names. You know who they are, and we all know who they are. They have protected our back, had our back on many, many other issues. But on this one, I took them to the task, and then they delivered, and I really appreciate it. My conferees, Senator Reinhart, Senator Ingebrigtsen, you guys are rock stars. I really appreciate it. And the working group that has been on, we've been at this for a very long time. And there was a lot of naysayers out there, wasn't there? Senator Bonoff, Senator Bach, Senator Sinjum, Senator Magnus, and Senator Harrington. But we delivered, and that's what it's all about. And we are going to have a first-class stadium that we can all be very proud of. And I'd also like to thank Representative Lanning. I'm telling you what, you know, he was just outstanding to work with, and I told him last night I can't wait for our next project together. Perhaps not another stadium, but maybe we'll bite off something a little smaller. But you know what? It was Representative Lanning and the bipartisan group and all this bipartisan feedback. That's what this place is built on, folks. That's what it's about. So you can push the red, you can push the green button, but in the end, we made a decision here. We brought this to the floor, and we're going to take a vote. And we're taking we are looking at the state and saying, what's in the best interest of the state? And we don't talk about that enough. And I do believe, and there's many of you on this floor, and many of you up there that believe, this stadium is the best interest for the state. This investment from three partners is the best for the state. So, folks, I'm tired. I'm tired of listening to myself. I'm sure you're tired of listening to me, too. So let's vote. Let's get it done. Thank you very, very much.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2958. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 36 ayes and 30 nays, the bill is passed in its title agreed to. I appreciate the enthusiasm, but take it into the hallway. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we will take up the two Senate resolutions. Secretary will read the first resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 178, a Senate resolution relating to notifying the House of Representatives the Senate is about to adjourn sine die.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move the resolution be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 179, a Senate resolution relating to notifying the governor. The Senate is about to adjourn sine die.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move the resolution be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion is adopted. Moving to the 13th order of business, announcement of Senate interest. We have several excuses for the day. Without objection, the following members will be excused. Senator Pappas all day, Senator Brown from 9 to 11:45, and Senator Wieger from 10:40 to 11 a.m. Without objection, they are excused. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, One announcement I would like, if we could, for the Senate Republicans to meet at the rostrum after the speeches and the final comments of the day. With that, Madam President, members, I want to call on Senator Jen Olson to send us home.
Senator Olson.
Madam President, I move that the 87th legislative session of the Minnesota Senate adjourn, sine die.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.